of delay, a couple behind-the-scenes machinations had to be put together to bring you the Drew and Mike program for Thursday, and we got a full house. Mark, Brandon, Trudy. Brandon, however, his sperm count is down to zero as his microphone cannot be heard. Very strange. Hopefully Mr. Skin's microphone can be heard. Are we worried about that?
Sure, we're always worried about that. Why wouldn't we? Why would anything work the way it's supposed to work?
Well, it seems like after things not working the way they're supposed to for a long time, there'd be less worry, but we haven't really had problems with guest Zoom for some reason.
No. Uh-uh.
And hopefully not today, as his movie, Skin, yes, his movie, is out.
Wow.
And it's on a lot of platforms, too.
I finally finished watching. It's really good. It's a fun watch.
I completely lost my train of thought.
About Skin's movie?
Yeah.
I just finished it. Did I enjoy it? Yes.
No, I know.
Did you watch it?
No. Have you looked at Rotten Tomatoes?
No, I have not.
I'm willing to bet. Okay, I'm going to say that the audience gives it a 91. And I'll say the critics will give it a 78. I think I'm too... Maybe I guess the critics too low sometimes, but...
I think the critics will like it.
That's my early guess.
Is it rated PG?
What?
Oh, Brandon's got a sperm.
Oh, stop. That's
got
so
one
mean.
Or two.
Don't say that.
Ah, sperm.
Hey.
Is it rated PG or PG-13, or do we see...
Boobies!
Oh, there's tons of boobies in it. Critics gave it a 79.
Yes.
And no audience score yet.
I'm one off on critics. That's pretty good.
That's, well, no surprise.
The Royal Oak Downtown Development Authority is hosting another Instagram contest to give away downtown dollars in order to encourage visitors and residents to support local businesses affected by the pandemic. Now, you also know you can go to visitroyaloak.com because they have another 1,000 $20 Royal Oak bills for 1,000 of you. And, of course, you know you can... Lift in there for $10 off, there and back. All the parking is free in the parking structures. But now, add $500 in downtown dollars, $100 each to five winners, given away to those participating, given to use at participating restaurants, retail stores, coffee shops, which is damn near everybody. To enter, participants simply need to snap a photo or selfie at one of their favorite businesses in downtown Royal Oak and share it to their Instagram feed with the hashtag
#BuyLocalRO.
Buy local Royal Oak, R-O though, saying why they love supporting that business. Don't forget to tag Downtown Royal Oak and the business. Contest is rolling through August 31st. Head to @Downtown_Royal Oak to learn more and discover additional ways to support local businesses.
If that's you all have our Twitter bios and your says like actor, director, this and that, winning.
Right.
That's what you are. Mm-hmm. But what would your hashtag be?
What an idiot.
Oh, poor Michael.
Oh, Michael.
I do want to compile the best of Michael's questions.
Yeah.
The LOI Center is back with us. $1,500 off if you want to get LASIK or multifocal lens implants. Maybe it's something you've been thinking about, and maybe a lot of people are at home or they got more time because you can't go out and socialize and a little hole in your life. Good time to do that, and good time to see Dr. Roche, too, for all the things he does. If you're 45 or over, ask Dr. Yeldo about multifocal lens exchange. You'll see microscopic print with your far vision in high def HD. How about that? And how about getting rid of contacts and reading glasses and all that crap? That'll save you the money it'll cost you. Get a free evaluation. Find out which procedure will change your life. Call Dr. Yeldo, 1-800-398-EYES, or go to YeldoEyeCenter.com. Tell him Drew and Mike sent you and get your $1,500 off.
Guess who just got reinstated?
So the Hall Financial Hotline also will be active today with Mr. Skin and the new Balloon Boy.
Yeah, I just talked to him.
How does the old Balloon Boy feel about the new Balloon Boy?
He talked to the old Balloon Boy.
He's totally jealous. I think you're talking about Falcon Heaney, not the guy whose record he broke. Yeah. Yeah.
I think
you want to come with me. Come for a ride in my hot air balloon.
He's got a whole bunch of hot air balloons.
I think we should bring up Falcon Heaney and perhaps suggest that he was indeed in the balloon before he wasn't in the balloon.
Oh, and that's the real record?
Has he looked into that?
He would have been younger.
Yeah, he was five, wasn't he?
I think so, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Plus he rocks.
Yeah, he does. No, he's cool. Cool kid, for sure. So, wow. I'm excited about that. I'm excited about Skin. And I'm trying to think if there's anything. Is there something on the agenda for tomorrow, too, that I need to mention?
No. Mm-mm, nothing. Zip. Zero. Are we even doing a show? I don't even know. What's okay. going on? What day is it? Who am I?
Have you guys seen The Peeping Tom that they're on lookout for?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. What a creep. The biggest creep. He takes a ladder with him.
Yeah, yeah. Carrying a ladder.
Is there any way to be a Peeping Tom and not look like a creep?
Well, he looks like a creepier Peeping Tom. And by the way, why is it Tom? Why is it Peeping Brandon?
Hey, no, let's not start that trend. But what I saw here is I see this guy, and at first I wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt. I'm like, oh, he's just looking.
He's doing a little roofing. He's
and
looking
then you
to
realize
clean the gutters.
He's leaving and coming back, leaving and coming back, and he keeps looking in the same little girl's window. It's terrible.
And it's 11-year-old, an 11-year-old girl. And he's been, apparently other people have seen this guy or are aware of this guy too. A guy carrying a ladder around at 3 a.m. seems to me would be
a pretty big giveaway. Giveaway.
I just saw something. He's wearing a mask, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, he's self-conscious.
Why is he wearing a mask?
Self-conscious.
Who is he going to get within 6 feet of when he's peeping Tom?
The 11-year-old. Young people can be carriers too.
Are people giving him props for wearing a mask at least?
Sure.
Want to point out though, he is wearing a mask, so he's doing all the right things with COVID.
That's the first thing I pointed out because I just knew that it's going to be more difficult to figure out. We have video of him, but if it wasn't for COVID, that mask wouldn't be on and he'd be caught.
That's true.
Oh, so
much easier for the criminal element.
He's wearing a mask for the wrong reasons. I also saw the Southfield Fire Department and Police Department are kind of scrambling because this young lady, Tamisha Beauchamp, turns out to be alive, mm-hmm. and they declared her dead. And I guess the godmother of Tamisha said, "I feel a faint pulse." And they went and checked her again. They said, And they checked her again after that, and they were absolutely certain she was gone. But then, just as they were about to embalm her, the funeral home, for some reason, they didn't want to talk to us.
Hey, call the advertising agency.
That is just the weirdest thing to say.
Approach.
Yeah.
But anyway, they were scrambling today saying that we don't even have body bags. If she's in a body bag, we didn't put her in a body bag. And also kind of trying to deflect, there were two paramedics there. One was an 18-year veteran. One has been working for 6 months. So I think everybody wanted to know, was it the rookie?
Oh, God. Because that's what matters.
They didn't want to say. But you know what's weird about the story is, of course, anytime the police or fire, more police, of course, are on the hook, it seems like it sort of becomes the key part of the story. She's alive, and they thought she was dead. So, I mean, isn't that in itself?
Apparently, there's
some reason for a celebration.
Sure, no, it's good. Apparently, there's a syndrome called the Lazarus syndrome.
Yeah,
that was the big story about that today. Like that must have been what it was, and why
you're dead, and then you're not dead, and then you're dead, and then you're not dead.
You have a slower response to see. I didn't understand it. I don't know.
I think I saw a movie about that.
Vitals. Yeah, I think it's where you have your heart starts just beating again. You have a normal, rhythm, and it's named after Lazarus from the Bible, Drew.
Is there a movie called The Lazarus Effect?
There should be. I know who we could ask.
I swear. Hopefully there's some nudity in it, so we can find out. Skin should be zooming in any second
he's
now.
There right now. And he is, and he's bounced Brandon out.
Okay. Well, let me quickly mention that Facebook Live is brought to you by Emergency Response Services Incorporated. Water is everywhere. It's going to be in your home somehow, some way. Leaky sink, washing machine, behind the fridge, maybe the 3 feet in the basement. Keep an eye out for water anywhere in your home, not just floods. It's the enemy. And Emergency Response Services Incorporated will help you. Call 877-JOB-DONE or visit 877-JOB-DONE.com. 877-JOB-DONE, of course, they deal with COVID and they deal with fire damage, storm damage, mold, all that stuff. And the Hall Financial Hotline is loaded up with Mr. Skin. Be sure to call Hall Financial if you want to refi. Interest rates are very good right now. Call 248-308-5000. And Movie Maker, Mr. Skin.
Ooh.
Skin!
Hey, guys.
How you doing?
How are you?
Good. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you sound great.
Wait, look at this.
Are you using a blue microphone?
Yeah, isn't this exactly blue microphone, old school, right? What,
that is that is a cool microphone. It also looks like a tremendous phallic symbol too. So it's kind of fitting.
Yeah, in honor of my new movie, I had to have a phallic symbol.
Well, I gotta say, Skin, one of the first things I said to Drew when I watched it is, seems like they used Mr. Skin to be the expert on male nudity. A lot of your comments were around male nudity, which was really upsetting.
Mark Clark is rolling in his grave because, Skin, you promised him you would never do that.
Yeah, no, I know. But, hey, these were things we added towards the end when we realized we need a more talking head, and I had to give it.
What is that microphone? Seriously,
I think that's the kind of that? I think that's the kind LaDuff has too, for whatever that's worth.
I got one of those.
Yeah, it's a blue. Yeah.
Huh? Is that so?
Yeah. Gee, apparently everybody knows about it except for you and me.
I guess
Look at Brandon brandishing his.
Yeah. Well, too bad no one can see Brandon anymore.
Okay, I'm a little unnerved. What is that name in the bottom corner? Did somebody put the wrong name in there?
Oh, here, I'll hide it from people. Here you go. Now no one can see
his Skin.
The real name. I know. We got an email when they read one of the stories about Skin, the documentary, because the mask.
Who's that dude?
The mask had been, pulled off on your real name, which you've hidden for years.
Oh, his real name is legally
it's out
Skin.
There if you look, and what are you going to do? and I tell you, when you do these reviews, they really dive in. Overall, the reviews are super positive. Can't even believe that.
79 on Rotten Tomatoes.
They'll throw in some Mr. Skin jabs when needed, especially in the mainstream media.
Really?
What didn't hurt to have my name too. So,
what are the jabs about?
For instance, but I do want to stress: never when I did this movie as executive producer, one of the things I didn't even consider, wasn't even on my radar, is that when you make a movie like this that was going straight to VOD, I didn't realize that mainstream media would actually review the movie. We actually have a really good PR company. Didn't even dawn on me. So the reviews, like from Variety, Hollywood Reporter, CNN, Yahoo.
Well.
Even AARP recommended it to their membership. So.
Well, they like the old videos.
Yeah. They like the Clara Bow. Anyway, but when there is a... an occasional, punch in the gut. It's usually, like, I think CNN's review, they loved the movie, recommended it, but except when that leering Mr. Skin guy came on, they'd say something like that. But overall, I couldn't be happier with it, and I'm fine with taking some slack every once in a while.
Well, 79% of Rotten Tomatoes, we just looked it up.
And I want to stress that there's three positive reviews that are Rotten Tomato reviewers that haven't gotten in there, so that's going to go, we think, around 85 soon. So.
Wow. Oh, you've got the advance information on Rotten Tomatoes voters that haven't voted yet in the critics side?
Well, there's like certain critics are Rotten Tomato level of, three of them that gave us positive reviews haven't been logged into the Rotten Tomato machine, so they're coming. But yeah, you couldn't be happier.
It's pretty major insider information. I'm going to pause for just a second to say that Mr. Skin is wearing a very cool White Sox hat. Yeah. I want that hat.
Oh yeah, I'll get you one. No problem.
And
that's the wrong team for you.
I like the White Sox. I've always liked. Yeah.
Hey, White, better, but... Where's your hat?
So White Sox no hitter last night. Who is this guy?
Lucas Giolito, man. It's pretty cool. It's it was a fun night. It's weird, though. I read something that was so funny. One of these White Sox fans said that his cardboard cutoff has seen a no-hitter, but he hasn't.
How weird.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. And it was just fun to watch. And it's just weird without having people in the stands.
It's very weird, but I tell you what, it's not so weird that the White Sox are playing well. Tim Anderson just murders the Tigers, just kills them.
Well, I got to say, and by the way, the White Sox won today again, so I was just watching that before I got on, but the Tigers, I think you got to be pretty excited about the young arms on the Tigers. That lefty, that guy that throws about 100, it's fun to watch too.
Yeah. He's exciting. However, bringing them up has kind of demonstrated that the turnaround's not going to be anything dramatic and anything immediate. But yeah, I'm glad they're up there, and it is exciting to watch them every two out of every 5 days. But but the White Sox looked really good in our series. I got to say, they looked really good.
Yeah, it's just fun. You know how it is, and you guys have had some great years with the Tigers. Mm-hmm. When your baseball team is good and they're playing great, you know, really well, there's nothing better because every night you're watching a really good baseball team. But when they suck, which the White Sox have for most of the last 10 years, it kind of tough.
I know it so well because honestly, I can almost track when I stopped watching the Tigers to when the Verlander trade, and there were a couple others right around there, and I just stopped watching. And then I started up again. This year I was so excited to have something to watch, and so it's been great fun. And the White Sox, are they playoff bound, Skin?
Oh, yeah, I think so for sure. Just at worst case, wild card, but they're what, like 7 or 8 games over 500? And, you know, in a 60-game season, it's looking pretty good. But the problem is the Twins and Cleveland are really good, so they might have to get in as a wild card.
Well, still exciting. I know exactly how you feel. Back to Skin, the movie. It's available on Skin. Is it on all the platforms?
Yeah, it is. And even last night I showed off to my wife that on our DirecTV while we were in bed, I did the search, Skin, A History of Nudity in the Movies, and pulled it up. So she was impressed that my movie was on DirecTV, yeah.
It's hard to impress.
But yeah, if you have like Apple TV or Amazon or iTunes, whatever it is, Fandango, wherever you download movies, it's there.
I have to tell you, I was really hung up on the early part of the movie. And I thought the history, you know, it sounds, you love the history. I did enjoy watching the history of nudity because in movies, because it goes back so far. And there actually were, I mean, there was nudity in movies way before we would ever think. And it seems like it was so naughty when it happened. In fact, they said
it is. It's weird to see. And that's and by the way, I should tell people. So this documentary, it's male and female nudity. I'll be upfront about that. We mention that. But it's it starts with Thomas Edison and the invention of the motion picture camera all the way up to the Me Too movement. And one of the things that even film people that are huge film guys and movie site people, they even weren't aware of the amount of sex and nudity and debauchery that were in movies pre-1934 when the Hays Code came in. You know, there's a reason there was never any nudity from the mid-30s all the way up till 1963 in American cinema. Prior to that, though, I know like Audrey Munson did a movie called Purity we talk about in 1915, and she was a beautiful model actress, and she was completely nude. The very first movie that won an Oscar in 1927, when they just started, you know, the Academy Awards, Wings won Best Picture in 1927. Clara Bow, the It Girl, most famous actress in America, showed her breasts in that movie. Even Hedy Lamarr in Ecstasy we show in 1932, completely naked, chasing a horse, the greatest nude while chasing a horse scene in movie history.
Okay, wait, Skin. I have to
interrupt. That all happened prior to 1934. Then it was complete shutdown, the Catholic League of Decency and the whole and all of that. There was no nudity at all until Jane Mansfield in 1963 in Promises, Promises.
If I go to MrSkin.com, can I look up, will Clara Bow be on there?
Oh, yeah. We got her from Wings. Yeah.
That's so weird. Yeah. I saw the Hedy Lamarr thing, and not that she's not attractive or anything, but she was, you know, she wasn't super chesty and she was pretty and all that. But I couldn't believe the reaction was people were just so excited to see her. I mean, it was like the biggest deal because there'd been no nudity. So people were just so pumped about those two small breasts. And it just seems so weird to me. But, you know, if you've never seen nudity in a movie before, or it is a big deal. And it made me think of Anne Margaret in what's the movie? Carnal Knowledge. And I remember seeing that movie and thinking, oh, my God, Anne Margaret is nude. This is incredible. And yeah. I went back and watched the clips. Skin, you can barely see anything. It's like a side shot. And just because I'd never seen Anne Margaret nude in any way, shape, or form, and there wasn't that much nudity at the time, it just, I recalled it as being, you know, like she was screwing somebody on film. Yeah. Like it was a porno, but it was really not much.
Well, she was completely nude laying on the bed, and Jack Nicholson's in the shower, and she gets up, and you do see breasts. But you also got to remember, this is the girl from Bye Bye Birdie. And in 1971, very few major actresses had done a nude scene where they're completely nude. And she did show her full butt walking into the shower to join Jack Nicholson. So you got to have the perspective of that to appreciate it. That still is one of my favorite nude scenes of all time, just because I was such an Anne Margaret fan. Guess where she went to high school?
New Cher East.
Yes. That's a
new that
trivia.
Well.
she was a senior when Drew was a freshman.
Oh. I wonder if she was a cheerleader.
Yeah, I'd love to see old pics of her in high school.
Yeah. Well, she looked pretty smoking hot in those Elvis movies, and Elvis was all over that.
Oh yeah, Elvis was all over that for sure.
Kinda lost himself. Those scenes when it was much harder to see nudity, it seems like it was more exciting. And I got in this thing about God. I wonder what the first thing. Do people ever forget the first nudity they see in a movie? I don't think they do because it's kind of a seminal event, if you will.
You don't remember? Well, you're a woman though. Guys remember their early nude scenes.
I have the best one.
Oh, well, Trudy, you remember the first wiener you saw in a movie?
No. I have, check this out.
I asked Trudy, not you,
Brandon.
Total Recall,
three boobs. Boom, three boobs.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty wild.
That's funny. We do at the beginning of the movie, we ask celebrities what was the first nude scene they saw. That's kind of how the movie starts. And it is kind of cool to hear what people remember. And it always is. It's like, it might, even if it's not the very first, something early in your life that just, you'll always remember where you were or what you saw. And Drew, to your point, it's like going back and looking at your old childhood home. It always seemed bigger and more exciting as a kid than when you go back and see that nude scene. You know?
Yeah. You're right.
Yeah, the Anne Margaret effect. Trudy,
and then it seems too small later.
We never got your answer, Trudy. Do you remember the first wiener you saw in a movie?
I can't. I almost remember being like, whoa, there's a wiener, but I never remember what it's attached to.
So. Wow. One of the things we touch on in the movie from the male nudity standpoint is we talk about the first full frontal male scene in American cinema, which was a Jack Nicholson movie called Drive, He Said in 1971, where Michael Margada is running around a college campus streaking. Because streaking was a big thing in the early 70s.
Yeah.
And we show that. It's one of the, you know, the major male nude moments in the documentary.
I had a question. Jack Nicholson.
A little something for Trudy.
He's hot.
Nicholson.
Yeah. God, gross.
He reminded me of this. And I don't know if you know this answer, but having watched the documentary, I wondered, what male actor has been in the most female nude scenes? Because it's either got to be Jack Nicholson, because he kept popping up, or Robert De Niro.
Yeah, no, I don't know the answer to that because it's a male nude question.
But they're clothed.
But I'd say like throw Antonio Banderas into the mix if you're gonna, you know. I think we just did a list over at Mr. Man, but I'd have to pull it up. Is the most nude scenes by A-list celebrities. So that,
but I just mean an actor that's been in the most nude female
I'm sure all those guys are up there, no question about it. You're right. Nicholson shows up all the time, man. He's a lucky dude.
Caligula would probably put Malcolm McDowell. Well, not only that, but all the other movies he's been in has got to be to the top, right?
Yeah, and I should point out about the documentary. We do, of course, talk to critics, scholars, film industry veterans, but I think what is really fun is hearing from the actresses and actors about their nude scenes. And we have like Mariel Hemingway, Shannon Elizabeth, Pam Grier is awesome. But you bring up Malcolm McDowell. He, to me, kind of stole the show when talking about Clockwork Orange and Caligula and the craziness on the set of those movies. And even Eric Roberts was really good, too. But it was fun to get the perspective of people that were actually there for these memorable, famous nude scenes. It's good to hear from them.
Hey, it was kind of interesting that you you got into Star 80, for which Mariel Hemingway, she claimed she was getting breast implants anyway. I don't know if I believe that. I mean,
she admits she would not have got the part unless she upgraded.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, really?
Oh, yeah, because she's playing Dorothy Stratton, who was, you know, huge natural boobs, and there was no way. She was like kind of an A to small B, and she totally upgraded for the role.
And then Demi Moore, I remember when she got implants. I don't think I knew she had implants, but I'd seen her in About Last Night.
Yeah, that's a great before and after. If you watch About Last Night.
I know, isn't that funny?
And then you go watch her in striptease. It's like, holy geez.
Yeah, you got the same thing that doctor had in his file, her before and after pictures. And I love that movie about last night, too. That's such a great movie. It's a Chicago movie.
It's Chicago. It's pretty cool. If you lived here or if you've been to the city, you'd know it. But I should mention, and Trudy could probably relate to this, too, is like one of the things I was worried about. So 2 years ago, we started working on this documentary. And I should say, I'm the executive producer. I didn't, you know, I had a team of a great director and writers and everything else. So, you know, it's really all of them that put this together. But the thing that I was really concerned about is with the Me Too movement and everything, and you do a movie with over 100 nude scenes about the history of nudity in movies, I was worried that it would come off as completely tone deaf and that we'd do all this work and be all excited about it. And then the, you know, people would just be like, you're a scumbag, what the hell? But I think because we interview so many women and get their perspective and make it fun and a story, you know, because it is still informative and educational all at the same time, that a lot of the reviews, which made me feel really good, were like, how the hell did these guys do a thing with this many nude scenes, yet it doesn't feel exploitive? And that to me was the biggest accomplishment of doing this, because you guys know once cancel culture gets you, you're dead. And I was worried about that. But the reviewers were pretty unanimous in saying that they did it in a way that was not tone deaf, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, a lot of those actors.
That's the way that you've always conducted things, though, with Mr. Skin.
Right. Well, listen, from day one, I didn't want to make my website like I didn't want you to feel creepy or weird or scummy when you came here. I wanted it to be a party and a celebration. That was my website. But for this movie, after the Me Too movement, things have changed. And I got to say, one of the things we talk about in the documentary that actually has been a good thing for women actresses is this. And I don't know if, you know, Drew, you said you watched most of it so far, but they had this thing called an intimacy coordinator now that's since the Me Too movement on the set of movies and television shows where, like, if a director and an actress agree that they're going to do a sex scene or a nude scene, they agree in advance of what is going to happen. Well, lots of times, and especially in the past, the directors would try to, like, you know, add some flavor, more nudity, throw in this other scene or whatever. And intimacy coordinator's there to make sure that the director and the actress are, you know, what they agreed upon happens. And that they're also there to help, you know, as counsel or whatever. And it's such a contrast to, like, Linda Blair and Chained Heat or Diane Franklin and Last American Virgin or Pam Grier when they're talking about what they had to go through in the 70s, 80s, and even into the 90s to do these nude scenes. And in the documentary, it's like one of the good things is, hey, it's great that there's still a ton of nudity, but now actresses don't feel like, you know, it's forced on them. It's like they have they're empowered, which is
To that point, you guys covered Last Tango in Paris, and Maria Schneider came out and said, you know, it was a horrible experience, but I thought it was really interesting. There's a guy in the documentary who says, nobody really buys that because she was friends with Brando, which was kind of a ballsy thing for that guy to say.
Yeah, it's like, listen, in later interviews and stuff, she said she wasn't happy with how things went. And, you know, I don't know the answer. And we talk about it. It's definitely one of the more famous, when you do a documentary on the history of nudity, you got to consider, you know, Last Tango has to be in there. And that Maria Schneider.
Oh, what a set of tits, by the way.
And bush. Yeah. Ugh.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
Huge bush.
I know. Yeah.
Huge.
Poor Mark.
It was atrocious. That's
right in my wheelhouse, sir. Yeah.
You know what? I could not believe the part where they were talking about, and you might have been in this part too, talking about distributors and how distributors would say, I got to have three sets of tits, two bushes, and one good sex scene.
No, Martha Coolidge, if you guys remember the movie Valley Girl, she directed that.
I love that movie.
She's one of the directors we talked to, and she said that she originally only had like two nude scenes in the movie, and then the producers were like, no, we need four. We need to make money on this thing. So she had to like come up with on the spot an extra nude scene involving Elizabeth Daly, which was actually ended up being a really cool nude scene.
Yeah, E.G. Daly.
Like, because, you know, here's the thing. They didn't have the internet. they didn't have computers or your phone where you could pull stuff up. Like, if you wanted to see nudity as a 18-year-old kid, guess where you had to go? To the theater, you know? So
it was tough.
That's the reason they did it. And it's different now because you don't have to do it. We used to do it to sell tickets. Now you don't have to.
Mr. Skin is available on just about any platform. And, boy, you mentioned it's a documentary three or four times. I think you're getting a little snobby about the this business, Skin. You got these guys from academia.
Hold on, I got to light my pipe real quick.
Executive producer.
Put my cardigan sweater on. Yeah.
You got historians on the movie.
Documentaries.
I do want people to know this isn't a documentary about me. This is a documentary about the history of nudity. I just happen to be one of the talking heads, one of the many, many talking heads in this documentary.
Skin, okay, you're executive producer, and you financed the movie too, didn't you?
Well, that's what it is. Yeah, the executive producer. So it's up to, hopefully I'll get my money back. But I got to tell you, one of the nice things about great reviews and Variety and Hollywood Reporter is our distributor has been getting some nice phone calls from some pretty big platforms that want to buy it. And I think it's going to be on a major platform that you guys would recognize in the not too distant future.
So, it should be on that platform.
Mr. Skin, could this have ever been in a theater?
Yeah, it would. We were going to do that until COVID, but it wouldn't have been like a major, you know, it'd be in a couple theaters just to get
art theaters.
art theaters type of thing. But one of the things that we felt with this thing is, you know, we joke about it, but there's some truth to it is like if you're in film school someday, we really think that a cool professor will play this movie because you really learn a lot about the history of movies. And on this subject that no one's ever, you know, put into a movie or a documentary. So it's actually a good learning experience. I don't know how you
there's that snobby Mr. Skin again.
100 nude scenes in the 2 hours, but they'd figure it out.
Skin, I was telling Drew that we actually watched Caligula in one of my college courses. Believe it or not, they showed
that is awesome.
Yeah, now you know that was.
You did not watch the full porn version. You watched the R-rated.
No, I mean, it was only a couple scenes, but there were nudes in it. You know, they warned you beforehand, but yeah. So
yeah, if people don't know, that was Caligula came out in 1979, which Malcolm McDowell has some great stories about in the doc. Is that what people don't know is like. John Gielgud was in it. Peter O'Toole, no pun intended. Malcolm McDowell and Helen Mirren were all in this movie, which Bob Guccione turned into a real porn movie with real porn scenes. And it's unbelievable. Like, how could that happen? And it happened in 1979.
Now, there's there was a segment of the documentary where you were being interviewed and you were beaming. And it's no surprise because you were talking about Fast Times at Ridgemont High. And your all-time...
Yeah, I got a few rips in the press on the leering on that one. But What can I tell you?
You love Phoebe Cates, and as I'm watching it, I wondered, and she seemed totally fine with doing nude, not only in that movie, but other ones, too. I always wondered, have you ever met her?
No, never have. You know, she really got out of the business in the late 80s and she married Kevin Kline and raised a family. Mm-hmm. I guess she's very involved socially, or was before COVID, in, you know, New York City and all that, and she's supposed to be awesome, but you know, I've never. Listen, I live in Chicago. I don't meet celebrities too often.
Now that you're in these higher circles, you might meet her. You never know.
Yeah, someday maybe. But yeah, she's. When I'm asked, since the day I started this website over 21 years ago, what's my favorite nude scene of all time? I always say Phoebe Cates in Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
It's pretty fine.
It was interesting hearing as an Amy Heckerling, the director of that movie.
Yeah, she was awesome.
And talk about how they really ruined that one scene with what's his name?
Damone.
Damone. Yeah.
Oh, when Damone's having sex.
He's so good in that movie.
And Jennifer Jason Leigh, and she wanted to show cock and balls in the.
Oh no!
Jennifer Jason Leigh did.
Skin froze up.
Skin's frozen.
Oh, Jesus.
Come on, Skin.
Sell that documentary.
He froze up when he said.
For some reason.
There he is.
No.
Did I freeze up? Yeah, sorry.
There you are.
Okay, he's
right
back.
When you said,
can you see me?
Yeah, you're back.
Yeah. Well, I got a bad internet here for some reason. The it's because my whole family's on goddamn Zoom for school. anyway, she's.
Jennifer Jason Leigh wanted to show it all, Skin?
Well, she wanted Damone to be nude completely with her, and they I can't remember who it was. The producers said no, or the studio said no, and she couldn't do it. So just Jennifer Jason Leigh was naked.
Yeah, those are some rough scenes with Jennifer Jason Leigh in the dugout.
Oh, the dugout one was, not good.
I'm trying to remember, what was the graffiti she was looking at on the roof of the dugout? They showed
surf
it.
Surf Nazis, or,
Yeah, and then the scene with Damone wasn't all that great, too, because he's like, I think I came after like 10 seconds.
I know. And she,
Oh, my. Well, Skin, great movie. I really enjoyed it, and I'm glad it's doing so well for you, and I hope we see it on that other platform, because that'll mean something very good for the movie.
Yeah, no, and it's right now, if anyone, it's on, you could get it on Apple TV or Amazon or iTunes, any of those places if you're interested. Even Matt Riley hit me up unsolicited and said he really enjoyed it, so that was pretty cool. I didn't even send it to him.
Hey, does the name have anything to do with Mr. Skin?
Yeah, he's always been a big backer. So I got to give him credit.
Oh, Mr. Skin has? That's great. Glad to hear that. Well, you're executive producer. It's called Skin. It's not called Mr. Skin.
He's the executive producer. You can name it whatever he wants to name it.
It can't hurt MrSkin.com, of course. Well, Skin, congratulations, and go White Sox, and we'll be in touch real soon, I'm sure.
Yeah, great talking to all you guys. That was a lot of fun. Thanks.
Cool, Skin. Good thanks a lot. You. Adios.
Bye.
Mr. Skin.
Let's see if he disappears if Brandon reappears. Oh, he did.
Mr. Skin.
You guys are way zoomed in now. We had a lot of audio trouble at the beginning of Skin.
Yeah.
So I had to restart Facebook Live, which I'm not going to end.
Well, it was. It's a good movie. If you like nudity, if you appreciate nudity, you will appreciate it. It's not done in a scummy way. And one of the things that
it's
Skin...
really good. It's pretty informative.
One of the things that he did from the very beginning of Mr. Skin that I really believe has a lot to do with his success is that he is always positive about nude scenes. He doesn't say, oh, my God, is she gross? I mean, see that.
He's not a creep.
No, he's not. No, well,
he's no Guccione.
No, he's not Gooch. But I mean, even when Kathy Bates is nude, he doesn't make a crack about it. He just sort of
can we talk about that part? Enjoy it. Can we talk about that part in the documentary?
Kathy Bates?
Yes.
Yeah, sure.
So there's one talking head on there who's, the reaction of Jack Nicholson is what made that scene, they said. And his reaction of being stunned isn't because of her body. It's because of the female empowerment of Kathy Bates just getting into the hot tub. I call bullshit.
Total bullshit.
I think the point of that scene was him being appalled at how she looked at that moment.
Oh, he really gave it that much thought. Oh, my God, the female empowerment.
Oh, of course not. Knowing that the movie's about Schmidt. And having seen the movie, I don't think that's how many people took it. But maybe this one guy's 20/20 lenses, maybe.
I saw it a long time ago. That's not a bad movie.
It's okay, yeah.
I want to mention the big summer event at Zot Ford in Holly and DealsInTheD.com. Their summer sales event. The deals are hot. They've got the 2020 Ford car, truck, and SUVs you can lease below $200 a month. Now, they're going fast, so you might want to jump in there if you're thinking about that. Fusions, Mustangs, Eco Sports, all-wheel drive Escapes, Edges, Explorers, and don't forget the Super Crew 4x4, F-150s, and all-new Ford Rangers, each under $200 a month. And believe it or not, many listeners who originally leased from Zot Ford in the early days of the podcast are going back and back again, like John Tucker on his third lease. So get to DealsInTheD.com and get yourself a smoking deal on a new Ford. Gabara, Anthony, or contact any of the hottest sales staff in Oakland County for Zot Ford. If you're a man facing divorce, then you might have custody issues. You might have residential issues. You might have a lot of reasons to call Adam, the American Divorce Association for Men. For nearly 30 years, they've been helping men just like you protect your rights and get the fair treatment in the court system you deserve. Don't take a chance with the future. Go with the best. Adam has the knowledgeable, aggressive, experienced attorneys you want. Call Adam at 248-356-2326. That's 248-356-ADAM. And Luke Nowacki is your friend and your investment friend, and he would love to help you figure out what to do. Call Luke at 248-663-4748 for rational financial advice. With COVID, what should you be doing now? Maybe you should be making adjustments, or maybe there's adjustments you want to make now, or 6 months from now, or 6 years from now. Stocks or bonds, how to balance your portfolio, what to do about college savings. So many things to think about that you don't want to think about, and it's never too late to have a plan because you do want to outlive your money. No, you don't want to outlive your money. Is your company in the right investments? Is your pension fund meeting its projected return? Get advice, get a strategy. Call Luke at Pinnacle Wealth Strategies, 248-663-4748. He no longer has COVID, by the way.
Oh, good. You ready for the disclaimer?
Yes.
Securities and investment advisory services offered through Royal Alliance Associates, Inc. Member FINRA/SIPC. Royal Alliance Associates, Inc. is separately owned, and other entities and or marketing names, products, or services referenced here are independent of Royal Alliance Associates, Inc.
Breaking news with Mort Grimm.
All three NBA games today are canceled.
Why?
Guess.
COVID.
No, not COVID.
What?
Oh, no. COVID's off the map now.
Oh,
I know Brandon knows.
Oh, because of the guy killed in Kenosha?
So the first game was Milwaukee and the Magic and the Milwaukee.
It's not in Milwaukee, though.
No, it's all in Orlando. But Milwaukee said, we're not playing today, and never showed up on the court, which led to the Magic walking out on the court going, hey, what's going on?
Oh, wow.
Because no one was there. But then the other two games are canceled as well.
Oh, boy. Well,
were they carrying that when the Miami team walked on and said, hey, what's going on?
I actually
did you get to see that part?
When I heard that it was happening, I put on the game, and you could see a couple Orlando players out there. Like,
Oh, Orlando.
We can play or what?
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Awesome drama, but bad situation.
Which I understand why they had to cancel the other two games, because that would look pretty bad, considering the NBA is the woke league, if the other two games went on.
You know, I've been reading a lot about the NBA lately, a lot, because there is a, you know, with all the sports coming back, you know, there's just universal excitement. And I said the same thing about football. I don't know if they should play football, but God, if it comes back, I'll be watching like crazy because we all need something to do. And the Tigers I've really enjoyed because I love baseball. And it just, you know, with nothing, even though they're not that good, I was excited to watch some baseball games. And I think the feeling was that this is going to be great for all the sports. But then you find out that after a couple weeks, and now we're, I think, a week into NBA playoffs, around a week.
Yeah. A little more than that. I think it's 2 weeks, about.
The NBA is really not doing well as far as television ratings. They've been, and The Athletic did a long story about NBA ratings, and since 2012, the NBA has lost 45% of its audience, and about 15% in the last year. And that is a huge number. And there's some other articles that are written along to that effect. One which is specifically blaming LeBron James for the NBA's loss of ratings, which is pretty, I mean, a little bit of irony there. The guy that everyone wants to watch is causing the league to lose its audience. Let's see if I can find who wrote that article. Analyst rips LeBron James for destroying the NBA. And there's a lot being written about this right now, so...
LeBron James.
I am DeGroot.
I don't know who he is, but... He talks about how, you know, LeBron has won 4 MVPs, 3 championships, blah, 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 blah. But then he goes on to say that his lasting legacy will be one of burning down the kingdom that stars before him built. LeBron's legacy is going to be that he destroyed the NBA in the U.S. The ratings for the NBA are collapsing in LeBron James's NBA. Magic and Larry did everything they could to build up the NBA. Michael Jordan took the NBA to heights you've never seen before, but since Jordan retired, the NBA has been a consistent downslope. LeBron James is destroying it. The young players have taken his lead and decided to be woke with all these vapid, not supported by factual date comments. This is an unmitigated disaster. And he goes deeper into... Mark and I talked about this a little bit.
I don't think I'm buying the fact that LeBron James is killing the NBA.
Well, it's certainly a little dramatic, but he then spends a lot of time talking about China and the fact that NBA,
a huge disaster,
which you know, has really called out the United States for having horrific problems, and then when China, one guy with the Houston Rockets, calls out support for the protesters in Hong Kong. The NBA loses its business in China, but in the meantime, all these people basically said, shut the fuck up! In other words, don't criticize China. We'll criticize the United States all day, but don't ever say anything weird, bad about China. So why am I bringing all this up? Because not only did the Lions take the day off yesterday, but with the NBA taking the day off today, I don't know... You know, I understand if they don't want to play or they don't, are they trying to draw attention to, because there's no shortage of attention. In fact, that's what I thought was interesting about the Lions yesterday was that it seemed, fact, there was a headline I noticed when I was reading the Lions story. Something like, you know, if you didn't listen to the players before, you will listen now, or something to that effect. And it's like, what is, I mean, not to suggest that what happened in Kenosha isn't terrible, but I mean, this is a continuing story and has been. There is no shortage of awareness or anger about it. And if you read the comments underneath the Lions story, by the way, you will see mostly people belittling the Lions, blasting the Lions. This is what I see as a problem, and the NBA as well, is that they're always coming from the same place. They're always coming from the left. They will not take the day off because some policemen are shot to say, because we support first responders, you know, we can't play. And I'm not saying that they should. I'm just saying that the NBA and the NFL are now part of the left. And in this country, if you're part of the left or the right, the other side is going to be very inclined not to like you. So,
why is the shooting in Milwaukee a left or a right thing?
Well, it's not really a left or right thing, but yeah, the police, because they're essentially saying, we can't play. We're so upset about the way police do
to
black people.
So if you're Republican,
people,
you're totally fine with what happened there, and if
no,
you're Democrat,
no,
you're
not
fine no matter what.
No, I'm not trying to argue with you. I'm just saying this is what I think. This is where I think this all comes from, is that a lot of people support the police and don't think the police are that bad. They don't think that, you know, if your son goes out, that you have to worry about the police murdering him. In fact, I noticed a lot more powerful comments than I used to see underneath the Lions story. I don't know why. Maybe it's just people are weary or what it is. But the players, I suspect, are trying to draw more attention to police brutality. Correct?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think a lot of people aren't going to like that because, first of all, they don't want... I think the problem with sports for a lot of people is that they want sports to be sports, and they want it to be an escape, and now it's part of something much larger that is very wearying.
I just think people are exhausted by it.
Yeah, that's what I said. It's wearying.
The zone. Have you ever heard of that concept?
What's that?
Where you just have so much shit going on and push so much division and conflict that people become weary of all of it.
Well, I noticed there is pushback more so than I've ever seen before. I've always sensed that a lot of people did not like the NBA having Black Lives Matter on every court. They do not like seeing players with names like I Can't Breathe. It's not because they think that nothing terrible happened. It's just that it's just wearying, I guess, as much as anything.
If you like the sport, why that would make you stop watching it. But that's just me.
I don't know if it would make you stop watching it. I don't know if it would make you stop watching, but you might watch it less. You might care less about it. You might just have a feeling that this whole thing is about more than sports. It's not just sports. It's, here I am on the right, and here they are on the left.
But for the players, it is more about sports.
Well, yeah, for the players, of course it is.
That's why the players, they're doing it.
I mean, the last time...
I'm trying to think.
When JFK was shot, the NFL played.
Yeah, and Roselle said it was his biggest mistake as commissioner.
Well, it was the president. I mean...
No, I know.
Not that I don't care about Jacob...
they did, though?
Jacob Blake. Yeah, they did.
Everything shut down.
I know. It's really kind of bizarre that the NFL played. It was 4 days after... But the country was still, you know, it was a pretty huge event. It took the Beatles to fix it.
The other aspect is these athletes,
they
have a much larger platform today than they've ever had, and everybody can be heard, and they must feel like people hear them, regardless of what you feel.
Well, they are. I mean, the people who love the NBA and love what the players are doing, I mean, they will love them more than they ever love them. But I'm just saying, I think there's a lot of people who are really weary of being talked to or lectured by NBA players and NFL players.
Sure, but it's not going away.
No, it's not going away, and they don't have to play. I mean, they can do whatever they want. Nobody's saying they have to play.
Yeah, but I'm just, it's amazing to me how many people were mad at the Lions for not practicing yesterday.
I think they just want the Lions to be the Lions. I don't know what else to say. I'm not saying they're right or they're wrong. I just think, you know, remember, this is a product that you are asking the public to support, whether it's buy a ticket, watch the games. And no, they don't have to. But when you tell your customers, in some cases, you know, there have been some pretty rough back and forth about people booing, people taking a knee for the anthem, that, you know, the people booing are wrong, or you don't support us not liking police brutality, so fuck you. And I think a lot of people just feel that is that's bullshit. They just don't want that to be part of their sporting experience. And I think they, you know, what the NFL did, which was smart, is they took the national anthem out of the game. Mm-hmm. They would run it during a commercial, so people would come back and it'd just be football. It wouldn't be national anthem, people kneeling, big news, booing. You know, that's a shitty note to start your event on. Hello?
Yeah, no, I said I agree. I understand that. I don't know why they do it at all. People can't handle it.
So anyway, you know, I'm sure that the people generally speaking, who love the NBA and love what they're doing, will think this is great. And, you know, I don't know what the Milwaukee players, I don't know. I just don't really know what to say about it, honestly. Having looked at what's going on with the NBA and the fans, and most people seem to think that the TV ratings don't matter that much, but there is something that is making the NBA less interesting to view for some people. And my feeling is, I think that is part of it. I don't think it's necessarily all of it, but I think it is a big part of it.
I'm sure it's a part of it.
And the NFL television ratings were off for a couple of years, and I think that's kind of water over the bridge now.
I will say this. It's weird watching the NBA without a crowd.
It is strange.
It's just bizarre.
It's weird watching everything without a crowd that's supposed to have a crowd. Did you guys, and that's changed the subject dramatically, but did you see Jimmy Kimmel for the last two nights? David Spade hosted?
Oh, did he really? I didn't even know that. Yeah. I record Kimmel every night,
He's
so I can watch it.
Really good at handling that empty room, except his wasn't exactly empty because he had a few people laughing who he brought in.
Oh, I see. Specifically to
laugh?
But
it was good. It was some good monologues. I actually laughed for the first time.
Yeah, I think Spade is... I really think he's one of the funniest people out there, period. And I was shocked that Comedy Central took the show off, because I just thought it was the kind of thing they could have built into something. You know, I don't know what. But,
well, he's made to be a host, obviously. If you saw those two shows, he handled that very well.
He'd never been a host before his Comedy Central show, had he?
I don't think so.
Other than stand-up,
But he's a pretty comfortable guy.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, and he's great on the air too. I mean, he's fantastic. Howard just had him on for something.
Maybe it's for that. Maybe to promote the Kimmel shows. What was that? Try again.
Howard has him on randomly here and there.
Oh, okay.
He's a good guest,
just like Alec Baldwin.
Oh yeah, Alec Baldwin. He comes on whenever he wants to promote anything. I've heard him talk about that. I don't need to go anywhere else because I can just go call Howard Stern and go on the Howard Stern show, and that's all I need to do to promote it. Everyone knows.
How's my Alec Baldwin podcast doing?
He talks like this all the time.
Am I still doing my Alec Baldwin podcast, or have I pod faded?
No, he's not pod faded. I think he's doing very well in the arts and entertainment category.
Is he really still doing them?
Yeah, I think he is.
He would punch you for saying that.
In 1992, I had sex with the Queen of Monaco. I had my entire fist up her ass.
Oh my God.
You know, on this Kenosha thing, which I almost feel like setting the egg timer for it. It's just so, the whole thing is so distressing. I just feel like talking about it just makes it more distressing. I don't know. Do you guys feel that way?
Yeah, I kind of do. But I don't know what's going to happen with, you know, like protesters and violent people who come in from out of town to stir shit up.
Well, some of the people protesting are coming from out of town, too. I mean,
true.
Antifa, although it sounds like Antifa's in every town now.
Sure.
Yeah, but so are these Boogaloo Boys and Proud Boys also. So it seems like they're like deadheads. They travel to wherever.
Yeah.
In these militia
groups. The scene is.
Yeah.
Well, my personal opinion is that somebody has to step on this and get a hold of this, because this is just going to get wilder and wilder, because now you got people protecting businesses. And a 17-year-old kid from Illinois comes in with a long gun.
A member of the Kenosha Guard.
What is the Kenosha Guard?
It's a Facebook group with 2,600 responses for the Is he a Boogaloo boy?
That was all over Twitter last night. Hanging out at that gas station there.
Remember.
What is a Boogaloo boy?
That's an alt-right group.
Oh, great. Yeah. Well, anyway, yeah, so he's over there.
I think it's something to do with people who feel like the next civil war is coming, and so they're arming up and all this stuff. And
they're trying to cause it. Yeah, you're right, Brandon.
Honestly, the most amazing thing about this entire event was how you can basically go on to any social media and watch, for the most part, the entire day unfold.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The victims and for the shooter. He's interviewed multiple times before the shooting, and then there's
interviewed
a
by
video
who?
Of the confrontation.
Well, that's another.
Who's he interviewed by, Brandon?
That's another thing, Drew. There are so many citizen reporters out there with their live streaming. There's just okay. So many people out there.
Yeah. Exactly. Now, I have up here. So this is a guy, I believe he's from the Daily Caller, and I think he stopped this guy with the gun and asked him what he was doing here. And this is Kyle, our 17-year-old from Illinois, who drove a half an hour to Kenosha. It's not like he's, traveling for hours and hours.
He's relatively close. His parents don't notice him leaving the house with his long gun.
Exactly. He's a 17-year-old kid.
Wait, he's 17. Don't dox him. He's underage.
He's not allowed to own that gun, let alone cross state lines with it. But here's his very first interview here.
What are you doing out here? Obviously, you're armed, and you're in front of this business we saw burning last night. So what's up?
So people are getting injured, and our job is to protect this business.
It's not your job. It's not your job.
I'm running into harm's way. That's why I have my rifle, because I can protect myself, obviously.
But I also
have my med
kit. You know how you could protect yourself? Stay home, asshole.
Yeah, it's not your job.
Yeah, well, it's his job.
Now, if the owner of that place hired him, fine. But it's not your job. And I'm going to tell you, this guy's not, he's going to get off of this charge.
I don't know.
Both murder charges? No, they'll both be self-defense because the bald-headed guy who he shot and killed threw a Molotov cocktail at him.
Well, hold on. So if you take a look at the computer real quick, the next video, if you follow along, and you can, they're everywhere out here, is when you see the armed civilians kind of facing off with the protesters.
And this guy's an asshole, too. I don't think he deserves to die.
I understand. Listen, I have it paused right now so you can see Drew. These are the two guys. They're actually right next to each other. These are the two that end up dying. And you can see that they're very aggravated.
And it's cool we get to see him die, too.
In fact, this is him.
Fucking ridiculous.
Shoot me, nigga. What is he saying?
To be shot, which is
what is he saying?
Shoot me N-word, so I'm sure he'll be canceled too.
Wait, is he black?
Well, it doesn't matter if he's dead. He'll be canceled.
Nobody wanted.
Too.
So the next video.
I'm asking seriously. Is that guy?
He looks pretty white.
I was gonna say. It seems to me he's using the N-word.
Yeah, he's a protester. I don't know.
Wait, he's a protester?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For which side, though?
Well, I think
for Black Lives Matter.
Yeah.
Wait, he's a BLM guy and he's calling someone the N-word and he's white? That doesn't make sense.
I don't know where he grew
up. I'm asking you to make sense of it, Brandon.
Well, talk to him about it. Oh, wait, he's dead.
All right. Okay. Anyway, moving on. You see, this is where you see our 17-year-old guy start running, followed by that bald guy that just dropped the gun bomb, and the bald guy throws a Molotov cocktail right at him. So
the
this orders, starts
the
first shooting.
You hear about yelling no cameras? Them is white boys.
Yeah, there he is. Here comes the Molotov. There it is.
Oh, we got a gun, baby. Oh, they're shooting.
Oh. So did he fire all those shots?
Yes, he shoots the bald guy in the head after he threw the Molotov cocktail at him, which leads to the next video, which is everybody around him. And this was so graphic. This was the first one I saw last night.
Okay, were you going to mention the fact that he actually walked up, saw the guy was down on the ground, and then went running away on his phone saying, because you can't, it doesn't count until you call someone. Of course, you do something on your phone. Saying, I just killed someone.
Yeah. All accounts, though, what had happened prior to, or multiple accounts, excuse me, no one knows what the hell exactly is going on, even though we can follow the video, is there was a tire fire, and apparently, 17-year-old kid threw a trash can to maybe break up the tire fire. That's when they chased him. They threw the cocktail first shot. And then here's the video.
Call the police.
Call the police.
Call the police.
Call the police. How ironic.
It is kind of ironic to call the police, but at the same time, it's just a horrendous video that's just being spread everywhere, which then is followed up by everybody chasing after the guy who just
right.
shot him in the head, which has led to the most widespread video.
This, it's just complete fucking chaos. Madness. It's just complete insanity.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Hey, you know how to stop all this?
How?
No more internet. For anyone.
You're probably right.
And then Drew. And then after he shot him, he walked down the street trying to turn himself in, and nobody decided. I mean, he walked by four cop cars, and they just sent him home. I guess presumably because they were talking to him earlier.
They obviously don't know what he did. I mean, you really think they just let him go?
Well, they did just let him go. If you look right here, so here he is. He's walking towards, obviously the cops are now coming because they've been called. And as he's walking towards the cops, he has his hands up. And I don't know the circumstances. Maybe they say, yeah, we've seen these guys. Just keep going to where we were called. But
well, they did talk to him earlier in the night.
He just walks right past all these police officers.
And you have a guy screaming, he's the one who shot someone.
Like he's expecting to be arrested. Yeah, he just doesn't get arrested. But
get out of the road! Get down there! God damn it!
Wow, just the chaos.
Watch the whole press conference with the sheriff and the chief of police, and I forget who the third guy was.
And by the way, the Kenosha police are in no way, shape, or form prepared for anything like this.
No, and the governor asked for the National Guard. So they're supposed to be rolling in. I thought he asked the day before, but I thought the three guys in the press conference did a really good job considering what had happened. And the sheriff said he fielded calls 2 days ago from a group wanting to be deputized, gun owners that wanted to be deputized. And he's like, I said, hell no, this is what I was afraid would happen, which is exactly what we talked about yesterday. So,
well, we all know what's going to
change. It's going to happen again. Nothing's going to change. There'll be worse riots tonight.
Well, probably if you have mob justice, why you're going to get vigilante justice.
I said yesterday.
Should you really get vigilante justice if there's a mob and riots and stuff? No.
What I'm saying, though, Mark, is these guys specifically, it appeared like they were trying to protect the business because over the last couple of nights, we've seen all these businesses getting destroyed.
Well, some of them probably are protecting businesses or are legitimately trying to protect the businesses. But that's really not.
I just get the general sense that some of them are provocateurs and they're standing around waiting for an opportunity.
I think there are good people on both sides.
Good thoughts. Fuck. Yeah, good times.
But I watched some I watched some of this video, and I got to say, it's like, why should none of these people should be out there? It's absolute fucking madness. It's just chaos.
So that's the other video you didn't see is when the police saw the group guarding the building before. They said, go home. There is this curfew. Thank you for what you're doing, but go home. You're violating curfew.
No one does what the police tell them to do.
George Zimmerman, they told him not to follow them. The police, the people in charge, told them, just like they've told all the protesters who don't listen, to go home.
No one does any. The police don't have any ability to make anyone do anything anymore. Ugh.
Yeah, they're all like me when I was a teenage girl. Never tell me anything.
As a teenage girl, you're saying you changed?
How dare you?
This is just I don't know what the answer is. There probably is no answer, but the NBA is taking the day off, and is there any response to that?
From whom?
I don't know.
The initial response from Magic fans was the Bucks have to forfeit the game. Seriously, it was trending for a while.
Oh, Bucks forfeit?
Yeah.
Seeing what's trending on Twitter is, I mean, you'd think it would be a good way to find out what's going on, but actually, the most dumb shit stuff, cancel Bette Midler was on there too. And I'm like, cancel Bette Midler?
Burger King was trending too, by the way.
Burger King for what?
Because they let that guy go and then went to his house and arrested him. So everyone's like, I'm probably going to give him Burger King too, because that's what they allegedly did for Dylann Roof. Remember Dylann Roof? Which that story is very mis. Remember Dylann Roof, the shooter?
They're going to give who Burger King?
Gold's Gym.
The Kyle Rittenberg, the guy who shot the two people.
Yep.
When they picked him up, and they're being
when they arrested him,
they're being facetious because that was the word about Dylann Roof. When they finally caught up with him, he was hungry, and they got a burger for him. Now that story's a little overblown. The holding cell didn't provide food.
Well, don't they have to feed them?
That was the reason.
Believe me, I would rather they shot Dylann Roof in the head. But I mean, so the police are under fire for giving him Burger King?
No, never mind. It's just it became kind of a joke, and that's why it was trending.
Oh boy. Well, there were two stories right before I knew Skin was calling soon, so I had to get down here. But I was watching Inside Edition, and which is such a great show, by the way.
It's the best.
I mean, whatever it is, they're on top of it, and whoever does the story selection, I think, generally does a very good job. Including,
you know why I think Inside Edition is, oh, yeah.
Even when we scoop Inside Edition, I think they're doing a good job, because we had the woman who was subjected to the squatter before she was on Inside Edition.
We should try the squatter today.
I think we should try her every day. Our friends at Zock Chrysler Jeep Dodge, I'll tell you what the other big story was in just a second, but our friends at Zock Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram and DealsInTheD.com are at it again, selling cars like candy bars, piling them high and letting them fly, stacking them deep, selling them cheap, because emptying the lot while the weather's still hot is why the summer clearance event at Zock hits the spot. So let's kill the rhymes. It's deal time. 2020 Ram Quad Cab Bighorn 4x4, as low as $188 a month. Get a new 2020 loaded Jeep Compass at just $155 a month. How about a 2020 Jeep Cherokee Trailhawk, four-wheel drive, as low as $249 a month. And, of course, the Jeep Wrangler, Zod Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, has the largest Wrangler inventory in the state, which, unfortunately, isn't that large at the moment. But the good news is there's no better time to go to Zod and order your badass Wrangler exactly the way you want it. All this and more at DealsInTheD.com. And I mentioned earlier Zod Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Hall Financial, and we're going to be on the Hall Financial Hotline again momentarily, and mortgage rates are below 2%, 3% in many cases. People are refinancing and saving big bucks. Go to davidhallmortgage.com/Drew and Mike. You can go to our website, click the link, or you go to 248-308-5000 and call them. And Trudy has the latest from Dr. Roche.
Right. Body's under construction there at Dr. Roche's office. Reconstruction, reshaping, recontouring the body. That's one of the things that Dr. Roche is expert at. For the look that you have always wanted, Evolve is the big star. The body reshaping that's going on there. I mean, my fourth treatment going under Evolve, the rotating trim, tone, and tight features. And trim decreases that extra fat layer. Tight tightens the skin over those areas. And tone stimulates and tones the muscles. It's like the total picture of, you know, like if you could imagine yourself in the future going in and a machine does all of that for you. That's exactly it. We've arrived there. Massively cool and easy, non-invasive, and one of those quick lunch hour procedures. Got a lot of people who have asked, and I tell them, call for a teleconsultation and ask for yourself, 248-338-1110. Also, boobs and CBD products are 50% off. Boobs, by the way, the summer saline is $3,500, and that's a big savings. So get the confidence that you want for summertime.
Well, it's time for this guy.
Do you remember the story of Balloon Boy? It was such a great story for just about 48 hours or so before everybody forgot all about it.
This is a new Balloon Boy. His name's JT Head. He's 8 years old. Became the youngest person ever to solo pilot a hot air balloon. I have no idea how hard that is or if it's easy. His dad owns a balloon company. And his name is Tarp. Tarp Head's on.
It's going to be so much fun. I'm going to set the
fire. Is he an example for children?
It's going to fill up the balloon. It's going to lift up the basket that we're sitting in. And we're going to fly over the town in my hot air balloon.
Hello.
Hi, Mr. Head. How are you?
I'm good. How are you today?
Good. It's the Drew and Mike show. Drew is here. Trudy's here. Is JT there, the balloon flying hero?
He is.
Can we talk to him?
Yeah, I'm hanging on just a second.
Maybe he's grounded.
How old is this kid?
8-year-old pilot.
Yes, I do. He sounds windy. We'll go flying
over the town. Here with JT.
JT!
Hi.
Congratulations on breaking the record.
Thank you.
8 years old. How hard is it to fly a balloon? Because we kind of thought it was easy.
It's pretty hard. Not really hard. It's probably 1 out of 100, probably a 15.
Oh, wow.
It's not that hard.
That's pretty honest of you. Now,
how far did you go?
I went 1.5 miles, maybe the first time, and maybe 2 miles the second time.
Now, some people were saying that that you might have been tethered to the ground, but clearly you can't go 1 mile, 1.5 miles if you're tethered, right?
No, I wasn't tethered. I had the rope. Oh, we were tethering for about maybe 5 minutes, but then they said, all righty, we're taking the rope. So they wrapped it up on the basket, but I could take it down, but I didn't because I wanted to fly and beat it.
JT, I gotta believe the hardest thing in flying a hot air balloon is to resist just pulling on that fire thing nonstop until you just went, you know, reach 30,000 feet or something.
It is pretty fun to do the burner, but sometimes you just gotta let go.
Yeah, like, so disciplined.
Don't let it go too high, because probably if you hold it, if you hold it down on a small balloon that I flew for maybe 3 seconds, it'll probably go up nonstop maybe 400 feet. Then
whoa,
it goes up really fast. Then you know it's going to come down really fast, and that's what it did.
Oh boy!
I went up really fast. Maybe the fastest I went was 5 miles per hour, and then I came down maybe 10 miles per hour, whoa. So it started burning.
Have we, did you guys establish that the youngest person to fly an airplane was 7, correct?
We have not, no. He did rate it a 15 on a scale of 0 to 100 on ease.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, JT, did you know that a 7-year-old flew an airplane?
No.
Have you thought about flying an airplane?
Yes. My dad has 2 airplanes that they can't fly right now.
Hey.
I cannot wait to fly in one of those airplanes.
Are you scared?
Have you ever thought of just grabbing the keys and just going, taking it for a ride without your parents?
No, don't put that in his head.
No, I'm just asking if he's thought of it. It's the wrong thing to do.
If I thought of it, I would probably do that just to maybe see the view on my own way up. Because my parents have already flown an airplane. I have a lot, but I haven't flown in my dad's airplane.
I got a question for JT. I was wondering how good it felt to call that former record holder and tell him that you just smoked his record. Because you did call him, correct?
Yes.
Was he hurt?
Did you rub it in his face?
No.
Was he upset?
Was he supportive?
No, he wasn't really upset.
Did he cry?
He should have.
I would have cried.
He was excited. He was like, good job. You broke my record.
Oh, he was fuming. Don't let him fool you.
You guys are rivals, though.
Well, former rivals. JT smoked him, like Brandon said.
He's a champion now.
Do you think it's easier to fly an airplane or command an air balloon?
Probably a hot air balloon.
An air balloon? Really? But air balloon, I mean, there's so much unpredictability to it. You know, with an airplane, it's all, you know, get the props going and boom, there you go. It's all kind of automated, right?
Well, there is differences in planes and not air balloons. Planes, they
you
go up, but they have wheels and a steering wheel. Yeah. On air balloons, you can't control but up and down.
Exactly.
You have to let the wind take you side to side, but the burner helps you go up and down.
Well, when you're experienced like yourself, I suppose maybe it isn't that hard. But you've got the wind, you've got those electrical wires and stuff like that. I mean, there's a lot to think about.
Yeah, the place that I soloed, there weren't power lines anywhere near us.
Oh, thank God.
And there, it was a clear field. Our front yard isn't that big. It's only maybe 100 feet.
And you were solo, so no one else is in the basket with you, right?
No, it was way too small for my dad or my mom.
Oh, really?
Wait, is that so it's just your basket?
Yeah.
Really? Now, we established
How big was Bobby Bradley's basket when he broke the record?
It was probably about maybe a little bit bigger, not that big. It was probably...
He could have had his dad maybe hiding down below, just in case. we did establish that the hot air balloon was not tethered the entire time when you broke the record, correct?
It was not.
Yeah. Okay. It was not tethered the whole time.
Okay.
And it wasn't at all.
Now, what record? It was never tethered?
At all.
Okay, because some people said it might have been tethered briefly and then flew. No, they're wrong.
No, it wasn't. Thanks for listening to the
podcast. Nice to have people talking about you, at least. I mean, some people. What do you do next, though? I mean, you got to top this somehow. Are you going to go 10,000 feet on your own or what?
Yeah, what's next for JT?
Probably farther of a flight. Like, maybe. Once when we were in a balloon fest in France, we were up there for 2.5 hours.
Oh, my gosh. Oh. Did you have to go to the bathroom?
Sometimes you do,
that is a good question.
You got to hold it.
You got to hold it for 2.5 hours? What if you had a bunch of juice boxes beforehand?
Have you ever gone number one over the basket?
Yeah, it seems like that'd be easy
to
do.
Never.
No?
Ask your dad. Has your dad ever done it? Because I know he has a hot air balloon company.
No.
Would someone
That's
get hurt?
What he tells you.
Would someone be hurt possibly by flying urine on the ground?
Well, I just think it's wrong.
No.
what a silly question he asked.
That's traveling a long ways.
Well, yeah, but it'll spread out. No one will even know.
You like rain.
Well, I like getting into physics issues on the show with 8-year-olds.
JT, is there a preferred time? JT, do you have a preferred time that you like to go on hot air balloons? Because I like to go right in the morning.
And we wake up like dawn and go in the hot air balloon. Yeah. And we have the footage.
Sometime late in the afternoon.
It was stupid. I apologize.
Now, JT, did you have to, like, figure out the weather and the wind and all that, or did Dad do that?
My dad does it.
Oh, okay. Did Bobby Bradley's dad do that when he broke the record?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Are you positive? Because some people are saying he did it.
That's just what we heard from him.
Yeah. Okay. We got conflicting stories there. Now, I think, seriously, you know, you said that the next thing for JT would be to fly for a longer period of time, but what about going a lot higher?
I'll probably go maybe about 1,000 feet.
1,000?
Whoa.
If you're going to go 1,000, you might as well go 5,000, right?
My dad's friend named Peter George has a hot air balloon up in London. Once he went above the clouds.
Oh, wow.
What? How many feet is that?
10,000, maybe.
Really? Have you ever thought, did you want to break his record, too?
I'm not sure if I can,
Sure you can.
I got
it. That's pretty terrifying to go above.
If you're 1,000, 10,000 is just as scary. I mean, same difference, right?
Not at all.
Do you know the highest that anyone has ever flown in a hot air balloon?
70,000.
What?
You were right.
Wait. We saw that guy. He was on National Geographic. And then
the guy that skydived
back down.
Did he jump out? Yeah, he jumped out.
That was ridiculous. Don't do that.
Are you going to do that? Do that.
No, don't do that, JT. That was silly.
Do it tomorrow.
That was silly.
I've met him before.
What?
Oh, cool.
Did you get his autograph?
Yes, I did.
Cool. What was his name? I can't remember.
His name was Joe.
He goes by one name because he took an air balloon to 70,000 feet.
JT, I got the next thing for you. Ready? Because this has happened before, but you can be the youngest to do this. Get a like a lawn chair and get a bunch of balloons and connect the balloons to the lawn chair and fly the lawn chair. Have you ever seen the people that do that?
That's not a joke.
That's not. No, he's seen it.
When are you going to do that?
Probably never.
What? Your dad will help you out. He'll set it all up. I don't think anybody got hurt.
I've seen that in a movie. Up. It worked.
Oh, yeah. That movie. You've seen Up.
David Blaine, that's going to be his next big stunt. He's going to hold on to balloons over New York City.
I would love nothing more than JT to do that before David Blaine.
Oh, what if JT went up there and popped his balloons?
What do you think, JT?
That would be huge.
Maybe do it this weekend.
Wow. So that guy that went to 70,000 feet and then he parachuted out, didn't he pass out at one point while he was parachuting or something?
Joe Kittinger?
No idea.
No idea. That's pretty incredible. Well, listen, I don't know what else. Now, what else do you like to do besides hot air ballooning? Because you're 8 years old. The world is your oyster. What else do you like to do?
Play soccer.
Soccer? That's a good sport.
What a cool dude.
And how do you do in your classes? You probably do very well.
Yes, I'm doing pretty well.
Mm-hmm. What do you want to be when you grow up?
A soccer player.
Yeah. Soccer player.
Who's your team, JT?
My favorite team is the Atlanta team.
What? MLS?
Their name is Atlanta United.
Yeah, you don't follow any of the real teams in Europe?
Yeah, I do. My favorite team that's out of the country is probably Bayern Munich.
Ugh. Bandwagon jumper.
Are you a Mark likes Arsenal or something.
No, I don't.
JT is an air balloonist. He does not get on bandwagons.
He got on a bandwagon. He's not either. No bandwagon.
I like Chelsea.
Yes. Yes. And we're getting Kai from Bayern. Right. So what do you think about that, huh? Does this mean anything to you guys?
Right. No, this is radio for two. JT.
I told you. I find them boring.
Congratulations on your great achievement.
Did you hear that Messi's coming to Atlanta?
Oh, no, he's not. He's going to Man City.
Who? What?
Messi. Lionel Messi's leaving Barca.
Oh, wow.
Big school. Big sports news. JT, I'll call you later.
He's right. There are.
Yeah, you and Mark need to talk later.
I'll call you later. We'll talk tons of soccer.
Except they're not gonna let him leave Barcelona until the end of the summer.
Yeah, well, we're almost there.
This guy's a veritable encyclopedia on soccer. JT, thank you very much. And good luck to you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, JT. Thank you,
Mr. JT.
The record holder, the youngest air balloonist in world history. And a huge soccer fan.
A great kid.
Boring.
Boy, you could just feel the air get sucked out of the room as soon as all that soccer talk started. Holy crap.
Did you hear me explode? I was getting excited. I just want to talk a little soccer.
So the guy...
Why is soccer so stupid?
High altitude skydiving was Felix Baumgartner, remember
that? That's right. That's his name. Yes, that's the guy I was thinking of.
I think
of.
He was talking about Joe Kittinger, though.
No one knows Kittinger.
Wait, Joe Baumgartner's the guy that jumped out of the 70,000-foot...
Felix Baumgartner. We've talked to him. We've interviewed him.
And he had a spacesuit on, right?
Yeah. And he's also... Yeah. Isn't he the guy that's also done all the, like, flying squirrel, flying suit things? Isn't that him?
I think it is. Yeah, he does all that stuff for Red Bull.
Yeah. We've interviewed him a few times.
When did he do the 70,000-feet thing?
We were at Rift.
I think he broke that record.
I think you're thinking of Kittinger, Drew.
Yeah, I am. I got it mixed up. But I know who the other guy is,
Kittinger,
too.
Joe Kittinger, he did the balloon 102,000 feet up to the edge of space, jumped out, and then at 63 feet of
Yeah, that story was crazy. And I think, didn't he have some medical problems shortly after that, and they thought it might be associated with that stunt?
Yeah.
I think that's the case.
That is so ballsy.
Wait a sec. It's not Felix. I'm still thinking it's Felix.
It's Felix Baumgartner.
Felix was the recent
we were watching.
Felix was the one that Red Bull kind of sponsored, and we just saw him jump out.
Yeah.
Drew's talking about the one that's been on for 50 years.
This guy was like 1960s, I think. Yeah. And I remember reading that whole story because we were going to interview the other guy.
You're right. He did have a head. He had like, isn't it kind of like the bends what he had?
Something like
that. Was it pressurized?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That thing people get when they're diving.
Yeah.
Which is, that's right. By the way, that's a sport. I was never attracted to the idea of going down, you know, thousands of feet and holding my breath. That just never appealed to me.
Oh,
I don't know what's wrong with me.
No.
And what do you know? Some of those people die. How crazy is that?
A lot of deaths.
I know. It's insane. I mean, seriously, I think those people need to be psychologically examined.
They just need to be left down there with the cruise ships.
Well, there's a... God, there's some
JT
really,
was great.
JT, he rocks, yeah, man.
Cool kid.
Knowledgeable 8-year-old. Talks very well, too. So, yeah, there's been so much in the last few days with all this activity surrounding Kenosha and the Falwell story, too, which I want to get back into in a minute.
You're about his payout?
$10.5 million.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I want the IRS all over this. Fuck. I guarantee you that there is bullshit relating to all these trips with this playboy,
yep,
pool boy, and I'm just willing to bet that that's either Liberty Baptist money or it's he's writing it off or who knows. But we'll get to him in a second. But, I saw those two stories on Inside Edition, and first of all, you know, you're watching the video that we looked at earlier, and it's just like, oh, my God, that is insane. First of all, my first thought was, who would ever allow their 17-year-old to be anywhere near that? And, I mean, I don't know what the story is. I'm sure we're going to hear all about his parents and all about his social media and about his everything.
We already know all about his social media.
But
a lot of pictures with him and guns. And
yeah, I saw a couple pictures, which, isn't that great, but...
Well, whatever.
Whatever. Yeah, I mean, it's just hard to believe that he said, yeah, I'm going to Kenosha, I'm going to protect this auto dealership, Mom. Okay, we'll see you a little later.
Be safe.
Anyway, the story they had, besides, right alongside the Kenosha story, was the story about the people eating dinner in Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. And it is the weirdest thing. It's like... Wait, if I would have never predicted this sort of thing in a million years, only now it seems anything is possible. People are just, honestly, just sitting outside. It's like a restaurant, just like Mesa, with tables outside, and there's a little gate around. And they are approached by a loud group of people who are chanting, "White silence is violence." And they are demanding, and they're mostly white, too.
They're all white. There's one black guy I can remember seeing.
It's a BLM protest, but it's mostly young, white, and there's a lot of females, too. And
there you go, the 20-year-old female.
Yep, there you go. And they're demanding that all the people who are eating outside raise their fist.
It's violent! It's violent! It's violent! It's violent! It's violent! It's violent! It's violent!
Now, if you remember, this is the one we were talking about before the show yesterday, where the one guy who was really in her face was identified as being a writer from Deadspin.
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
And then they started tagging him. I mean, he was doxed as being the writer, and they started tagging him online, and he responded by saying, "We had a very nice, cordial 15-minute meeting afterwards."
Oh, fuck you.
And everybody immediately was like, "That's horseshit. You don't rape a chick and then take her out to dinner. You know, that doesn't excuse the action beforehand."
What the fuck is wrong with you people?
It's just
first
wrong,
of all,
period.
They are allowed to eat dinner privately and enjoy themselves.
Yes,
and they do not have to agree with anything you say. And what happens is the woman who is, she said, a BLM supporter, said she felt like, this is not right. I should not raise my fist because people are screaming at me
where
I'm privately eating dinner. And she would not raise her fist. And that's when all hell breaks loose because, I don't know if you have that video. It was on Daily Mail today, but you just see people screaming, just screaming at this woman who is sitting there with her mask on, and these people are literally within, I don't know, a couple feet of her, just screaming in her face, multiple people. I don't know how anybody thought she could hear anything they're saying. Is that the video? No?
Well, I was just playing the one, but I know what you're talking
about. Well, yeah, they start chanting. And I guess this is the sport was going to outdoor restaurant after outdoor restaurant and forcing people to put their fists up in agreement. And if they didn't, then, of course, they would face the wrath
that accomplishes
of this group.
A lot.
Yeah, accomplished a lot of people basically starting to turn on this group because of some
they
of these
had
tactics.
Dinner. The food didn't matter.
You know what this reminded me of? Do you remember, was it Ted Cruz?
That's the one. That's the video I was talking about. They're just in her face, like five people.
Yeah, that's the Deadspin reporter right there. Yeah.
Oh, it's a female reporter?
No, the guy.
Oh.
No pizza.
Holy shit. So anyway, in addition to this now, much like the story we heard in Louisville.
What would you eat?
There are some businesses in this area who also feel they are being extorted because they're being told, give money to BLM or else.
Don't do it.
And, you know, you apparently are supposed to be so desirous of this sticker you put in your window, which shows that you have donated to BLM, that you just do it. Because if you don't have that sticker, then, well, you know, some people might not like that. But that was what was going on in Louisville. And
that dinner, like, changed my life and stuff. And, like, I'll never forget it.
One guy had the balls. He's a Cuban immigrant who had come to the United States on an 18-foot raft. Although I would like a forensic accountant to... the story sounded a little too perfect to me. But, okay, he said he came to America on an 18-foot raft and grew up and started this business and saved his pennies and whatever, and he's got this restaurant. And he pushed back against BLM, had his own protest, saying that he was not going to be...
So what happened to that guy?
He was not going to be extorted by a mob. I don't know. I haven't heard anything about it since. But...
Was that the end of it?
Honestly, I don't know. Because we just move on. I mean, something else happens and we move on. It doesn't matter anymore.
Which is why nothing changes.
No, it really doesn't.
Yeah, I just Googled Cuban Louisville restaurant, and there's been no news story for the last 3 weeks.
Well, anyway...
It reopened. That was like the last story.
I'm just noticing that...
Sounds delicious.
With the Lions story yesterday... And I haven't seen any response to the NBA story today. There's a lot of pushback now. People are really reaching a point where they feel like, I'm not afraid to say something for whatever reason. And I don't, you know, does it really matter if the NBA doesn't play? No, it doesn't matter at all. And they're appealing to their own feelings, and a lot of people will be with them, I'm sure. But a lot of people will also see it as another reason why I just want them to be a basketball league. I don't really care as much for it as I used to. Football, I don't think has to worry that much about that. And probably basketball doesn't either. I mean, it's just a really weird place we're in now where we know so much more about people than we used to.
Well, the Reds and the Brewers have canceled, so...
Yeah, baseball, too.
Okay. Any other teams or just the Brewers?
Sounds like the Mariners are talking about it. Fun fact, the Mariners have the most black players of any team in Major League Baseball.
Which isn't many. Brandon sent me an article today in the prep, which I'm sure you avoided, about the Deadspin article about how MLB hates black people.
Why?
Well, I mean, they're specifically using Tristan McKenzie as an example, and I just don't think that's...
Who's that dude?
Well, there were a lot of points in the story, you know, that the... Major League Baseball teams don't kneel at all.
Who's Tristan?
They stand for the national anthem.
He's a pitcher for the Indians. He's pitched one game, and they just think that if he was white, everybody would know about him.
No, they wouldn't.
I almost picked him up on my fantasy team, and I regret not doing it.
I was annoyed by the article because I know this, that when someone feels someone can help them win basketball games, baseball games, football games, whatever it is, they want them. They don't care if they're black or white. Black athletes have just, for some reason, have gotten away from baseball. It seems that, you know, you have so many Cubans and Dominican Republic kids that grow up and just love baseball, but it just seems like the black community is not embracing baseball the way it used to. Because I remember when I was a kid, there were so many great starting black pitchers, and I picked up this book on great black starting pitchers. And as I'm reading, I'm realizing, wait, these are all guys from when I was growing up. There's like none now. I mean, and it turns out that was the point of the book, was what happened to the great starting black pitchers? But it had Fergie Jenkins and Bob Gibson. And
what did happen?
What's that?
What did happen to them?
It sounds like the black community has lost interest in, not lost interest completely, but just is not as baseball oriented as, you know, back in the days of Willie Mays, and because the color barrier broke with Jackie Robinson, and then there was a flurry of, you know, essentially, and it's hard to believe we're talking about 70 years ago, all of a sudden all these teams started signing their first black player. And, you know, when you have the pick of the entire Negro leagues, you're going to pick great, great players. So that flurry of guys that came into Major League Baseball in the early 50s, mid-50s, late-50s were, I mean, a lot of Hall of Fame players in there. Ernie Banks, Hank Aaron, Willie Mays, Roy Campanella. I mean, on and on and on. And then I think that was a real draw to kids. You know, I want to play baseball, and we have, you know, the emergence of black players in Major League Baseball. And a lot of people thought, oh, my God, there will be no white players left in Major League Baseball before long. But what happened was, for some reason, I don't know, I guess football and basketball took precedence.
I guess. I don't know.
I can't explain it, but I don't think what Deadspin suggests is that, you know, oh, they hate black people, but I don't think that's the problem. I just don't believe that black general managers or general managers in Major League Baseball are saying, well, he's a great player, but he's black. I don't want him.
Is there more access to other sports?
Maybe. It could be.
Maybe hockey, because we know the number has grown there. Is there more access to golf? Is there more?
I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. I just don't think it's because people in baseball don't want black players. No, I don't believe
that's
that.
That's not it.
No. So anyway, I was talking about the kind of the pushback, as it were. Bernard Carrick ripped LeBron James today because LeBron James keeps, every time the police do anything, LeBron James says something about it. And Bernard Carrick was the police chief in New York, and among other things, and he said LeBron doesn't know the first thing about policing, and he'll just shut up. And he challenged him to handcuff someone who refuses to comply or spend a day in the firearms simulations training center. You know, I would like to see LeBron James try to handcuff someone who's not compliant, because I have a feeling that'd be kind of interesting.
I mean, that's fair, but the response to that is, well, whatever you're doing is not quite working in these incidents.
Well, I just think, but all we hear about is when the police fuck up. I mean, and when the police fuck up, and they have fucked up, we see it over and over. I mean, the George Floyd video, honest to God, it's hard for me to watch it. I've watched it multiple times, and it's like, oh, God. If the police help someone deliver a baby, you're not going to see it for months on end. Or if the police save someone's life, they're not going to play the video over and over and over. But these, you know, these fuck-ups, which are bad. I mean, this one, I still can't imagine. And I saw a lot of people responding to the Lion story today with, you know, oh, this guy's a convicted felon, and you know, he's on parole, and they told him to drop the knife. And honestly, I don't. Did the guy even have a knife? I don't even think it matters, really. I don't think he should have.
I know the guy down in Lafayette, Louisiana, who just got blown out of the news. He had a knife.
Blown out of the news?
Yeah, no one talked about that story. The guy last Friday had the knife walking into the Circle K.
Oh, the convenience store. Yeah,
shot
right.
11
yeah,
times.
Right. Yeah. And somebody else pointed out that, boy, nobody talks about, I don't even know the guy's name, but I did see the video. And it's one of the worst I've ever seen, honestly, involving police. They're called to an apartment complex, and I think
this is Maryland.
They think the guy's roaming around somewhere, and a guy opens his apartment door, like, right as the police are coming near the apartment door, and he comes out with his hands up. He's not involved, and they just shoot him. He's a white guy, though. Mm. And honestly, I don't think that story was...
Oh, Daniel Shaver?
Is that story even really been on the radar?
It gets brought up from time to time because it's but that not, one not is probably like,
I mean,
the
it's nothing
worst
like
video.
George Floyd. It's nothing like this guy in Kenosha. I mean, in terms of, I didn't even, honestly, I really don't know the guy's name.
Oh, Daniel that's Shaver the one in Arizona. Texas. We've talked, yeah, it was 4 years ago. That used to be a huge story.
No, not the guy. Wait, I think we're talking about two different stories.
What are you looking at it, Mark?
That's Daniel Shaver from, you know, January 2016. In the hotel.
Is that the one where? No. This is not in a hotel. It's in an apartment complex, and the guy is just coming out of the. His girlfriend is right behind him, and she, of course, starts screaming and crying, right on the scene. A lot like the woman in the video from Kenosha, where the wife of Jacob, what's his last name, Blake.
Yes,
Blake. Yeah.
Jacob Blake's wife is jumping up and down and screaming because they just shot him. She comes out right. They're both like. They're both wanting to come out. You see the police, and they're like, hey, it's not us. And he just shoots the guy with his hands up right out the door. And for whatever, you know, I suspect it's not part of the narrative, so it just doesn't get a lot of play. Because honestly, I don't see it. I don't remember seeing it at the time, and I, you know, you don't see much about it or hear much about it now. But anyway, Bernard
Jesus
Carrick.
All right.
I would like to see LeBron with somebody who won't comply, though. I don't think I'd be good for the guy that wouldn't comply, is my guess. I think LeBron could probably handle a lot of non-compliance. Yeah. I think he'd be a pretty good guy to have on the force.
Yeah.
Well,
Shaq's still on the in the sheriff's department.
Mm-hmm. Now we're learning more about the Kenosha shooter, the Kyle Rittenhouse.
Yeah, great guy.
You want to know the new thing to come out about?
Now what?
Here he is at a Trump rally, front row.
Oh, great! Good for him.
Oh yeah, it's just going to be fucking political and. Everyone's going to have their sides, and that's the end of it.
Thank you.
Well,
nothing will change.
I wish I truly felt like someone could do something, but it is so beyond that. This country is so divided, and these places like Kenosha, it's almost like the minute that happens, they don't have a chance. Kenosha doesn't have, I'm sure they don't have the wherewithal, much like Ferguson. Yeah, I saw a picture like that earlier. Ferguson cool. did not have the wherewithal to deal with what was going on there. Kenosha doesn't, and they'll send in help, and hopefully it helps, but I expect something terrible will happen tonight, and it's a foreboding feeling to think that, oh, shit, here we go, because, you know, this guy, and I don't know what this cop's history was, but, I mean, it just, it looks crazy to me. I don't.
Does that matter?
What's that?
How much does that matter, just out of curiosity?
His background?
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, a lot of times, you know, it seems like, oh, well, what's that guy doing on the force? Because you find out he's been involved with this.
I just mean in the actual incident as it's going on. Like, the kids being in the car, I don't think that matters, honestly.
But shooting into an open vehicle at point-blank range.
But isn't it about tunnel vision if he's trying to stop this guy?
He's not even facing him, though. I mean,
options he has to go anywhere.
How big a threat is he?
He's going to get in a car. That's it.
I hate the whole. What happens is, though, that people typically want to make it as worse, just the worst thing possible. Because, you know, you'll read some people say he gave his time to recycling centers and he has kids and blah blah. And, well, if the kids are in the car and that's the big concern, then why is the guy scrapping with the police in front of his kids in the first place? Well, nobody's really paying too much attention to the kids.
Well, he put the kids in the car to leave once the police showed up and they wanted to talk to him. And he's like, I'm not talking to you. And people will think that's reason enough to try and stop him, I suppose.
Well, was there a scrap? Because there's a second video that came out that said, oh, here's the new video. And he's scrapping with the police. And I don't see any.
Women.
I can't see anything going on.
You know what's interesting? Watching that press conference today, the sheriff said, I wish I had more information on what happened. And they were like, everyone's kind of like, huh? And he goes, unfortunately, in Wisconsin, when something like this happens, we don't have control of the investigation, which I think is fairly common in most states. So he's acting like he doesn't know. He doesn't know what happened. The investigation.
They don't have body cams in Wisconsin. Why do they not have body cams in Wisconsin? I mean,
I'll tell you, everybody in America should just wear a fucking body cam from now on.
It seems like almost everyone is. In fact, when it just killed me. When these people are screaming, white silence is violence, at this woman trying to eat dinner.
Yeah, those are clowns, though, man.
Well, that wasn't my point. My point is that they're recording her. Like she's doing something wrong.
No, they're looking for a reaction.
Because she's not complying.
They want her to do something wrong.
Meanwhile,
social media is the problem. It's also the problem why there were so many fucking people out there last night in Kenosha. But then again, that's why we have so much evidence of what happened.
But the problem is that you're going to have that many people out there. There's not much good that's going to happen because there's a lot of yahoos out there. Jerry Falwell, great guy. $10.5 million severance for what? Why does this asshole get severance? And I noticed yesterday.
Didn't you hear him? He built Liberty.
Oh, yeah, he built Liberty. His father built Liberty. He didn't build shit.
Family.
And by the way, he's for a man of God, he sure lies a lot. Oh, my God, what a liar this guy is. And, you know, having gone back to the Rolling Stone article I read, seemed like it was a long time ago, but I guess it was just a year or so ago, about this story, he's had shenanigans going on.
What story?
This guy has been involved in shenanigans forever. He met Trump in 2012 when Trump spoke at Liberty University. And somehow, Michael Cohen and Falwell have contact. And the next thing you know, there are pictures of Jerry Falwell, and I don't know, I assume Becky Falwell too, that are allegedly destroyed. Although someone still had the pictures and showed them to a reporter who then was telling Rolling Stone there were pictures of Becky Falwell in various states of undress. So this, you know, a fall from grace. It is not a fall from grace. He is a perennial scumbag. Mm-hmm. This guy didn't just have a crazy week or something. He's been an asshole his entire life. And this deal with Giancarlo Granda and the Fernandez, it's a father and a son named Fernandez. They somehow get a hold of these pictures, by the way. And they are claiming that...
Who are they? Who are these people?
They were involved in the investment in the hostel.
Jesus. His name is Jesus Fernandez.
Jesus. they were involved in the investment in this gay-friendly hostel, which, by the way, Liberty University is very anti-gay. So it's kind of interesting that Jerry Falwell was investing in this gay-friendly hostel in the first place. He put in $1.8 million. Now, I don't know, how much could the Fernandez and Granda have put in? Did they really? I mean, how large was this investment? I'd like to know. Yeah. But at some point, the Fernandez, Jesus, and his father somehow come into possession with some pictures. And after Michael Cohen makes this deal, apparently, the Fernandezes change their legal names to Gordon Bellow, and Jet Bellow.
Ooh, Jet.
I guess, I know, it's a pretty cool name, actually. Yeah. Jet Bellow, that'd be a good radio name. Hey, Jet Bellow with you. I mean, it just sounds like it's moving fast. Moving forward, moving fast, Jet Bellow.
Right at you, too.
Now, why in the world would they change their names? What the fuck is going on here? I would love to know, because you know there's so much more to this story, and I'm waiting. I have to believe that there's more wieners that are going to come forward.
Probably.
This can't be the only wiener Becky Falwell had to have. But, you know, the fact that Michael Cohen suddenly is in the middle of this is like, oh, my God.
Seems perfect.
It does.
Inside edition of that story about how Becky Falwell's best friends with Melania Trump. Did you see that
with
story?
Who?
Melania Trump.
Oh, she's best friends with her?
Well, I don't think they're best friends. Are they best friends?
Fuck if I know. But
Melania spoke at Liberty as a personal favor to her, I guess.
Oh, what a sweet thing to do.
Yeah.
Anyway, the Cohen photographs and this magic deal was revealed in a call between Michael Cohen and Tom Arnold. Tom Arnold?
That seems about right.
And Tom Arnold recorded the call without Michael Cohen knowing it, which is pretty funny because Michael Cohen records Trump when he doesn't know it. He records his clients when they don't know it. And he gets burned because Tom Arnold records the phone call. Falwell, at this time, had promised Ted Cruz he was going to endorse him. And then he came back and said, you know what? I can't endorse anybody for the primary. I just found out. And then 2 days later, he endorses Trump. Mm-hmm. And this is right around the time that Michael Cohen had made this magical transaction whereby Becky Falwell's pictures go poof. And the Fernandezes become the Bellows.
That's so weird.
What in the hell is going on there?
Ridiculous story.
So, also...
Should we try calling Giancarlo Grande?
Yeah, why don't you dial him up?
He never replied to my text.
That's pretty weird.
Oh.
Yeah, it says it was delivered. He apparently didn't read it.
But I can't think of the...
What's up with the gay-friendly hostel? Is it still operating?
Oh, we should call down there. Why don't we call the hostel?
What's the name of it? Do we even know the name of it?
I'm sure it's got to be in some of this stuff.
What do I do? Search gay-friendly hostel Miami? I'm afraid I'll...
Falwell gay-friendly hostel. Here, I'll find it.
Probably
Falwell.
Grenda.
Is that what it's called? The Falwell Gay Friendly?
Yes, it should be.
Should change their name.
They would do
a
lot
now.
Of business. Gay Friendly.
Giancarlo.
Friendly. Oh. Hello?
Please leave your message for 7897. Sorry. Mailbox is full.
Okay. He's very in demand.
This is funny. I'm reading this Daily Mail story. Gordon Bellow sued the Falwells in 2017. He's now actually referred to as Gordon Bellow. Another Miami man who claims to have had a personal relationship with Becky Falwell and sued the family over the stake in the LGBT-friendly hostel has urged the pool boy, now speaking on his family, to tell the full truth.
It's just called Miami Hostel. Here we go.
Seriously?
Oh. Yeah, because there's an article here. Someone wrote about my weekend at the Fowl's South Beach Flophouse. It's got 4 stars on Google. It's got to be great.
Well, the Bellows, I guess, are still involved in this thing.
The Bellows. Bellows.
It sounds like the younger Bellow was nailing Becky Falwell.
Becky Falwell isn't that hot.
Yeah, but she loves it. She can't get enough.
She is wild. And he gets to watch. Rose in his Speedo.
Isn't anybody answering the phone there?
I know. What if we want a room?
Yeah.
There's no way to do business.
The party you called did not answer.
I mean, the party you called.
Please
you answered.
Record your message.
The hotel.
When you are finished recording, you may hang up or press the pound key for more options.
Oh, I got it. Yeah, I was calling down there and trying to get a group rate for a bunch of rooms, but nobody seems to answer the phone. So I guess you're not open anymore? Oh, well, thanks. Bye.
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 Well, thanks.
Okay, bye.
Ridiculous.
Most of their employees treat guests as if they don't want them to be there. Some even have their own little niche of people they want in their place. What, is that? What does that mean?
What? Are these one-star reviews?
That was a one-star review.
Oh, awesome.
Terrible conditions. Horrible smell. Definitely not worth the price and time to spend there. We couldn't get any sleep because we were in a room filled with old, smelly people who snore in their sleep from booze.
What?
The so-called free breakfast is
there?
Well, it's a hostel, so it's pretty much open, right? The so-called free breakfast is a dry-ass bagel with jam or cream cheese and a small and a small peanut butter chocolate bar. Only good thing is the community space and the pool table.
Isn't it funny how people love adding ass to anything and it makes it worse?
Get worse.
That dry-ass bagel!
Never staying at Miami.
Honey-ass eggs!
I used to really like this spot when I first came to Miami. I stayed a few nights, but the main guy in the scene was a skinny gentleman with long hair. He really made the place pop. Now there's these two little guys running the show, and they think they own the place and think they're so tough.
My ass better baseball than him.
The last what?
How does a hostel pop?
I don't know. We got to ask the skinny gentleman with long hair.
What exactly is a hostel?
It's where you rent the bed. You don't rent the room.
Yeah.
Wait, so all the beds are in one giant room?
Pretty much.
Yeah, for example, when I shot out to Vermont for that bachelor party, I don't know if you remember me telling the story, we went there and it just turned out that, hey, you're sharing this room that has a whole bunch of beds with a whole bunch of randos.
Creepy.
Wait, that's right, there were randos in the room, weren't there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What? How was that when you guys are playing I Got Bitches for six straight hours and the randos are trying to sleep?
Well, we didn't play that particular song that night, but they were actually pretty cool people. We hung out with them. We drank with them.
What did partied with them. What do they do when you're in the bathroom for 5 hours, passed out?
I don't remember. They were screwed. They had to use the other turlet.
I thought that was a trip when you were playing I Got Bitches.
No, that was different.
That was up north, right?
That was actually, a bachelor party in Wolverine. Yeah.
Okay. So it wasn't when you stayed with the giant... the overhang with the ice.
That was up north.
Oh, ice dams.
That's my snowboard trip.
That's the American. What's that place called?
It burned down, right? Yeah.
I still receive pictures from people who drive by the carcass. I don't know if they've built it up yet.
Another Brandon up north news. Your Speedway closed. I saw.
That's true. That is very sad. How important does a Speedway have to be that when it closes? Due to COVID, because employees stopped showing up, that it makes like headline news. That's how important Speedway is. That's how important that Speedway was to me. And yes, it did make it. And
we're on your way, the convenience stores of Speedway.
Sweet.
Okay. Any 7-Elevens close up there?
Not that I know of.
Again,
the convenience stores of Speedway.
So convenient they close.
I can't help it. It was the employees. The employees, they just stopped showing up. They were too scared to participate in COVID times, apparently.
Okay.
Can I read this one review, one-star review, and I'm going to read it exactly as it's written? Horrible experience. The manager is really incompetent. The manager take $25 deposit and not give me back. And because I have problem with one guy, he said, you can live and I no give you nothing. So I louse two night $45 plus $25 deposit, total $70.
Wait, isn't two nights $50, not $45? They give him a discount?
I'm just reading it as a trend.
I louse.
Are you seriously? I never see in my life you can have problem with customer, but you no give back. Wait, but no give you back.
English, motherfucker, do you speak it?
The money. This is not
I hope Bette Midler doesn't read this.
what a bitch.
Great
I never in my life. Let's see. This is nada. Story is horrible. Stay away from this bad place. And I'm honestly from Miami Beach to because in this city, unfortunately, no have serious person.
Not sure exactly what he's getting at. I think he wasn't happy with the hostel.
Oh, maybe he had a dry-ass bagel.
Dry-ass bagel? Word-ass toast?
What the hell are you talking about? Well, speaking of Cruise, did you see he went to a movie premiere?
Yeah.
And he was trying to be on the down low.
Tom was?
But then, of course, took pictures of himself being there, and so got all kinds of attention for it.
Wait. Tom Cruise takes selfies and posts them?
Yeah, he was in the UK making that movie, the next one, The Mission Impossible.
Sweet. Can't wait.
So he wanted to sneak into a movie, except there's a picture of him all over the place on social media.
Oh my God, that's stupid.
Did he have a mask on?
Yep.
Yeah, well, he had like a turtleneck and a hat or something like that. He was really in disguise.
Ooh.
Did he talk really loud and say, "Hey, I'm Tom Cruise"? I mean, how did anybody recognize him?
That laugh.
He took the selfie and posted it.
Laugh.
Oh, Lordy. Any more good one stars?
Oh, I already closed it. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I figured
why would they not answer the phone? And by the way, I'm trying to think, why in the fuck?
Busy making some dry-ass bagels.
Jerry Falwell goes, you know, I really would love to invest $2 million in a hostel in Miami.
I know.
What the fuck? And this other deal, there's another one in Lynchburg with someone who got too close to Becky. Where this person got, I mentioned yesterday, got all this land that Liberty Baptist owned and apparently put almost no money into it. So I sure would be neat to see the IRS look into some of these things.
It's a religion, though. It's a church.
Yeah, tax exempt.
He's probably just using the church's money.
But you can't just give things to people. There are tax implications. I mean, that's why there's a gift tax. You can only give, was it $13,000 a year to someone without having to pay taxes on it, which is kind of amazing to me, because I remember when...
why does the giver have to pay the tax?
I know,
I've never understood that.
It's really weird. You never stop getting taxed. That's one thing you'll learn. The older you get, there's always more. But, I mean, I don't see why... You know, if I have $20,000 and I want to give somebody, it just seems like I ought to be able to give it to them. It's my money, and I want them to have it. But no.
Or they should have to
pay... You want to test that theory?
Or they should have to pay the tax on it.
Well, but I don't want them to pay taxes on it. I don't think anybody should have to pay taxes on it. It's bullshit.
Well, I mean, that could be a way of cleaning and hiding money, though.
I know, but I'm not doing that.
I mean, what if you don't employ people? What if you don't employ people, you just gift them money?
If you if you disclose what you're doing, though, and it's my mom, for example.
Yeah. No, believe me, I don't understand it.
The Gretchen Whitmer story, I just couldn't get over the story yesterday about her. She won't be bullied into opening movie theaters and gyms.
Mm-hmm.
Is she accusing Mitch Albom of bullying her because he wrote that column on Sunday? Is Mitch Albom bullying the governor?
Oh, my God, the idea of Mitch Albom bullying anyone.
I know, it's the funniest.
I hope he was.
It's got to be the first time he's ever even been close to bullying anyone.
Honestly, she could just do this to him and put her hand on his head and he wouldn't be able to hear. He'd just be swinging wildly.
Oh, mean.
Apparently, disagreeing with Big Gretch is considered bullying. Because I seriously, who was bullying her? I mean, I've heard people complain about it, but I mean, if you disagree with anything she says, you're bullying her.
Mm-hmm. I guess.
I really want to go to the movies.
Me too.
I really feel like at this point, it's just her being stubborn. Because are we really that afraid of movie theaters?
People
can't keep a mask on because they're going to be eating popcorn and drinking.
Okay, then don't sit near anybody.
I mean, I would think that. You know, universities being open.
Yes, that's far worse.
That would be more dangerous than a movie theater in a million times over. In fact, there's another outbreak at USC where they're not even on campus, but the students are all around in their apartments and stuff, so they're having parties.
I blame Olivia Jade. CMU's numbers went way up, too.
Yeah, CMU's having a problem. I'm assuming that's going to be the next, in a couple weeks, we're going to, oh my God, the COVID numbers are up. What happened? We must have reopened too soon. Oh, and they're all young. Well, yeah, it's going to be colleges because there's a lot of colleges and a lot of people are going back to school and they like to party and they're not going to stop partying.
I am surprised to see the number of schools that aren't fully opening for high schools and K-12. There's a lot more being all online than I ever thought there would be. And then that story, I don't know if you saw that CNN story about the mom who caught her son crying on his first Zoom class in kindergarten.
Oh, come on. I saw that, and you know what? Come on, kindergarten's pretty soft to me.
What's he crying about? Do we have audio?
Well, it's I got to tell you, if he's crying at this Zoom meeting, first off, nice taking a picture of him and shaming him online.
Right.
Like, hey, look at my pussy son crying in his first day of kindergarten Zoom.
Oh, can we see it?
Well, yeah, there he is right there. But number two, lots of kids cry on their first day of kindergarten. Charlotte didn't. But a lot of kids will cry on the first day of kindergarden.
What a mother.
Charlotte was pumped. She wanted to get away. She wanted to get out of the house.
I can't get over this story.
I'm not joking.
Charlotte.
She's like, mother, I'm out of here.
Captured an emotional photo of her son crying in virtual class to show difficulties of distance learning.
Okay, then put down your fucking phone and help your kid.
A fucking 5-year-old crying? Really?
I didn't understand that at all. Like, I'm going to take a picture of it and put it on the internet instead of helping him.
I'd be crying because he was so soft.
Did you hear this part of it? I just took that picture because I wanted people to see reality. And then he came over and we hugged. And I was crying right along with him.
Oh my God.
Send your forensic accountant over there to see if there were any tears shed, because I find that really hard to believe.
I think there's a lot more crying coming if that's true.
Well, why is she crying? She should be saying, it's okay. We'll just deal with this for a while. Now look at your Zoom and shut up.
Yeah, as a parent, you're supposed to be reassuring. You're not supposed to be the soft one who breaks down.
Yeah, that's not helping.
If they're crying, you're not supposed to cry. If they're crabby and yelling, you're not supposed to yell back at them. I have all the answers.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what works for me.
You're a good dad.
I'm a pussy. We'll push over.
I meant to mention some emails yesterday, and I think I mentioned maybe one of them, and it was of so much interest that that we just went off on it. Brandon, did you ever find anything more about Mark Normand, the comedian, and that appearance he had on that show?
Okay, so what you are alluding to is AT&T girl.
Yes, Lily. I mean, you don't have to get specific. I just wondered if you really did. He really say that?
I have been unable to find the specific clip.
Okay.
That you are referring to.
Someone was suggesting that this comedian was dating, and Lily the AT&T girl is, I mean, if you're not talking about Lily the AT&T girl, then you're not alive, because everyone's talking about Lily.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess she was dating this comedian. Is he a comedian?
He is a comedian, yeah, and there are some stories about them possibly hooking up at Bonnaroo, but...
Does it go in the butt?
Sweaty.
Yeah, so anyway, someone was trying to suggest that he had said something on this podcast, another comedian's podcast, and it was implying that Lily, the AT&T girl, likes a certain kind of sex that I, you know...
It'll cost you extra.
I just don't know.
Lucky.
It's just amazing to me that there's just no decorum about anything, anywhere, anytime. There's just none.
Not at all.
Because our governor was accused. It was suggested that our governor was the same way with her high school boyfriend, who I have no idea. Why is someone's high school boyfriend? I mean, I don't know. It's just so bad.
Well, wouldn't high school boys or former, wouldn't they say anything, though? Not that he's in high school
anymore. No, he's her age. And apparently he had texted this to someone who screenshotted it and put it on Facebook. You guys saw that, right?
Yeah.
And I was one of those, I guess I would put it in the category of, you know, this White House aide, Melania's aide, who records conversations with Melania, and now she has a book. And I mean, there's just nothing is sacred. I mean, I'm not really revealing anything special here, but it's just funny that nobody's even bothered by it. I mean, not that I'm terribly bothered by it. I mean, the AT&T girl is a lovely young lady, but I mean, it's not gonna mean anything to me one way or the other. And she's so busy being upset about people talking about her milkers on the AT&T comment site. That she probably doesn't care either.
It's because of your tits.
It was kind of hot hearing her say tits. Hoo-ah.
It's because of your tits.
I'll imagine what it looks like when she says to put in her ass.
I cannot confirm that story, though. I'm sure. Too.
Allegedly.
I'm sure somebody will direct us to the exact episode direct hour mark.
I guess I just think that somebody would be, you know, if we're going to cancel somebody, it might be somebody, you know, who's recording the first lady without her permission. I mean, that seems like a pretty scummy thing to do, but I'm not crazy about canceling people anyway. But then,
or they could just change the law, make everything two party.
Can you imagine how clogged the courts would be with all those cases? There's something inside me that wants to believe that there's some tiny bit of decorum left in the world, but there isn't. So whatever.
Oh, I think we might just come around to it after all this horrible shit.
I think that's a little hyperbolic. I think most people have decorum.
Most people do, but there's that small group that don't, and they just run around having no decorum and
ruin it for everybody.
Yeah, I mean it's just there doesn't seem to be any consequences, even for revenge porn. Yeah, people get cited for that, and you get arrested, and
there's a law. Yeah,
there's a law. Somebody sent me a clip of this is interesting. It was a clip of Queer Nation interrupting Arsenio Hall. I mean, we're talking like 20 years ago or 25 years ago, for not having enough gay guests, and he goes off on this guy, and it was kind of interesting, only because I'd never seen it before, and also because Arsenio was actually a fairly gay-friendly show. I mean, it wasn't like Arsenio. I guess he'd made some jokes this guy didn't like, but it was an old clip, but it was odd seeing this confrontation because the audience was so behind Arsenio.
Yeah, they're at the Arsenio Hall show. Why wouldn't they be?
The dog pound?
Well, and he really...
The blonde girl was so funny while they were singing. She said, oh my God, it was so funny, so funny. Huh?
What?
I'm sorry, I can't hear you, man.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
Why don't I have any gay guests on my show? What? I'm sorry, why don't I have any gay guests on my show? Well, there are a lot of gay guests who really don't like to talk about their sexual preference, so we don't know whether they're gay or not.
Oh, what a great response.
You know? That's pretty good.
Quinn, gay.
Now, this ain't Merv. You didn't think I'd run from this, did you? This ain't Johnny. I ain't gonna run from it. I'm gonna deal with it.
Ooh.
You deal with it, Arsenio! Ooh, 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 ooh.
This ain't Johnny Carson! I ain't that pussy.
Who would you like me to have on my show that's gay that maybe I haven't had?
Me. That's what he's going to say.
Who? Gus Van Sant. I don't know Gus Van Sant, but I know Elton John. He's been here and he's rocked the house.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Okay?
And that counts for a lot.
What? When Harvey has something I'm interested in, I'll Harvey bring him
Firestein.
On the show. But this is my show, okay? This is my show.
I want you two to kiss each other.
You think I have somebody on the show because they're gay? What's wrong with you, man?
Ooh, Arsenio's feeling it now.
I'm black, man. I'm black, man. I'm the biggest minority you know about. Trash, man. I got gay friends I've had on the show. Because you don't know them, or it ain't who you want on the show, you got a problem with it. If you want to book it, get yourself a show.
Yeah.
Ooh, get your own show.
Sit down so I can do the show. You've had your say and I've had mine.
Is that real? Do you think?
Yeah, I think it's real. You know?
Yeah, okay. I always think everything is.
Trudy, you're very suspicious.
But. Well, I mean, the guy was wearing the Queer Nation shirt. I mean, like, wouldn't that group come out and say, no, that wasn't real?
Well,
I mean, I don't know.
We know that Luke Sissyfag was
real. Yeah, that didn't work out well, did it? That didn't work out well at all, did it?
Luke Sissyfag used to interrupt stuff all the time, including the Clintons. It was their Christmas Eve church. I guess they were at church, and Luke Sissyfag got up and started screaming about them not funding AIDS enough, I think. Whatever happened to Luke Sissyfag? Where is he?
Didn't we
He's
look
an
him
activist.
Up?
I thought
we, yeah.
But we didn't. We never were able to connect with him. He's kind of like the Mel of the gay world.
Oh, don't come on.
Troy sent me an email about the Clash song "Police on My Back," which we were playing the other day.
Stay tuned for the next exciting chapter in the adventures of Luke Sissyfag.
Actually, it was Joe Strummer and the Muscaleros playing it, that killer version from that 68th birthday deal, and. Tony sent me a version of The Clash playing at Shea Stadium, which is their big live album, and Joe Strummer scolding the crowd in the middle of it. But anyway, I cannot get over that song. I love that song. And then Chris sent me an email about, I believe Chris is from California or lives in California, and he said the dirty little secret in California is that a lot of the firefighters are in prison. And yeah. I guess they're
we talked yeah. about that. Mm-hmm.
Well, oh, we did. Did we talk about this yesterday?
Yeah, they
I got through this email.
Yeah, well, we didn't get through that email. No.
Did I mention the? He also sent me video of a protest. Let's see. They were protesting the arrest of a girl for inciting a riot when they took over the 101, and I guess there were some cars that were damaged. And so they were demanding that she be released. And this protest was, first of all, the girl that was live streaming it seemed to be pretty into herself. She's very pretty, I have to admit. But anyway, they were twerking on American flags, and girls were humping the girls that were twerking on the American flag. And then anytime a car would try to get by or would drive by, they would all start chasing it, like, you know, how dare you? And apparently this thing ended up at the city hall where they were insisting that this other, anyway, it was, I never had seen this before. I'm sure there's a million videos like it. Someone sent a video of Chyna Phillips. Chyna Phillips has a show?
She does.
I guess she does. And she was, first of all, Chyna
Phillips.
Is this
bad of me? Because I want to know how good does she look now?
No, that was the first thing that came up.
She was actually so pretty.
He said that she
that broad.
She looks pretty rough.
What?
Well, she's not made up at all. They're moving. Ugh. And the weird thing is, she's... Okay, does anybody know who she's married to?
Right Stephen now? Baldwin.
Oh, no, it's no. Billy Baldwin, isn't it?
Oh.
China!
Oh, is that... Are you sure?
Wait, no.
It's
a Baldwin.
It's Billy.
I thought it was Billy. I thought it was Billy. And I had not seen... Has anyone seen Billy Baldwin in the last 15 years? Has he been in anything?
No, not at all. What's he been doing?
I don't know, but he shows up. She's showing us their cottage for some show. I don't know if this is an online show.
Or, I
believe me. Totally. I thought it was totally ridiculous. But it was just weird because Chyna Phillips is like, all of a sudden, it's like,
he's been working.
I have no sexual interest in Chyna Phillips anymore.
He's had about 15 direct-to-video movies in the last...
He's
got
direct-to-video.
He's got Backdraft 2.
Those are things that I would never see. So it was odd seeing him on there, and he was they were unpacking, you know, framed things they had, like her song being number one in the Billboard charts, and blah, 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 blah.
He's got Backdraft 2, starring Joe Anderson.
Wait, are you so you're not kidding?
No.
There's a Backdraft 2 coming?
Yeah. Well,
wasn't De Niro in Backdraft? Why isn't De Niro in the sequel?
I don't know. Did he die in the first one? Oh, Donald Sutherland's in it, too.
There were huge people in Backdraft, weren't there? The original?
Movie, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, William Baldwin was in the original, along with Kurt Russell and Sutherland, De Niro, like you said. And Jennifer Jason Leigh.
I can't remember what we talked about yesterday. Off the show or on the air.
Well, mention it. What is it?
The Lori Lightfoot is banned protesting on the street she lives on.
We did not talk about that on the show.
Some people in Chicago are angry because Lori Lightfoot. I don't understand this. Apparently, she banned protesting on the street she lives on because protesters were showing up outside her residence and were chanting and flashing flashlights in her windows. And she said, I'm the mayor and I can't get shit done with people doing this.
Yeah.
So
didn't she
naturally
claim too that other city officials lived on that street and were being harassed too. Like, it's not just me.
I don't know about that because they said that some people in the police force were having the same problem and she didn't seem as worried about it. So people were very angry about that because, I guess it doesn't matter if she's in my neighborhood or anybody else's neighborhood, because I have shit to do, too. You know, you're not the only person to have shit to do. And I'm not crazy. And it turns out there is a law in Chicago about protesting in residential neighborhoods. But what she's doing is she's enforcing it on her block. So they have police that are constantly in her neighborhood at night and making sure that nobody gets in and makes noise so that Lori Lightfoot can't get her
beauty rest.
Beauty rest, yeah. And speaking of her beauty rest, she also got her hair done.
Make a noise.
when the salons were all closed, she got a salon to open up so she could get her hair done. And people were pissed about that, too. And she said, well, I'm the mayor. I got to look good. Anyway.
Hey, weird
really, tangent. She doesn't really have that.
I know. Her hair doesn't look that great for.
Oh, talk about a black woman's hair.
But meanwhile, stores and businesses in Chicago keep getting their windows kicked in. And, you know, all kinds of craziness is going on. But Lori Lightfoot can sleep. So I guess that's what matters. And, oh, and there was a story that was actually about five stories down from the Lori Lightfoot story that I thought was also interesting. It was about a Chicago cop who had been shot. And he was shot by a 25-year-old man who was paroled 3 months ago and had been to prison four times already, and he was 25. And it sounded like it was just a completely random thing. He just wanted to shoot a cop or something. I don't know. But that was actually, there's a lot of email, but those were some of the stuff that I don't think we talked about at all.
Brandon just got food delivered, and Kristen dropped it off with Maddie, and he kissed Maddie, but not Kristen.
Really? Aww. Are they in a fight?
Are you in a fight?
Oh, no, not at all.
And then I saw you yell something as you walked away. What'd you yell? Is your food cold?
I was gonna ask her what this what it was.
It looked like ribs.
You have such food blindness. You don't know what any food is.
Hold it up. It looked like ribs. Oh, maybe not.
Oh, it's barbecue chicken, and then there's some, like, God dang it. I just don't know what kind of pasta this is. But
Brandon's one of those guys that, you know, he can produce a radio show, but he can't tie his shoes. He can't identify any foods.
Amazing.
Are you in the spectrum?
I might be. I don't mind. This is great.
I'm so envious.
Carry on. Hey, that Borat drop reminded me. Did you see the part in the Skin movie about the Borat movie? The new.
I didn't get that far.
Mechanized.
They interviewed Ken Davidian, who was the big fat guy who was nude with Sacha Baron
Cohen. Yeah.
It's a really funny segment, but to hear him tell the story and how it all went down, and then when they're both nude and they fought in that convention, which was real, that was all real. Yeah. He said they made no escape plan for him. They did for Sasha, but not for Ken Davidian. So he actually got arrested, and the detectives from the hotel, I'm sure it's security, said, we're going through these doors, and you're getting in that blue van. And he had to sit in this blue van totally nude because he had no clothes. They didn't give him anything. It was freezing, he said.
Bummer.
And he's like, I have no idea what happened to Sasha.
Never saw him again.
It's a really funny segment of the movie. I forgot how funny. And Skin labeled it the funniest nude scene in movie history, because it probably is.
It was pretty good.
So shocking.
Was there any other local news today?
Yeah, you know what? I was trying to find the story about.
They left some notes upstairs.
Kind of boring, but the Michigan budget.
What story?
You know,
the state of Michigan.
Yeah, they thought they were going to lose $3.2 billion.
Yeah,
apparently that number's only $900 million now.
Really?
And what they found out is people still spent a lot of money. And spent while under quarantine.
Well, Gretchen Whitmer said that the economy's operating at 87%.
She said 87% of businesses were open, right? Isn't that what it was? Or
I thought she said the economy is operating at 87% efficiency, which same probably similar.
A lot of it's probably from opening the big three.
I'm sure it had a lot to do with it.
But they, you know,
No. You know what it is? It's that medical or it's that recreational marijuana finally coming into play here.
I'm sure that weighs into it. But you would have thought that wouldn't they have. Maybe accounted for what they expected to get for that?
Or no? I think they underestimated that.
So for 2020 and 2021, the total was supposed to be $6.3 billion deficit, and now it's probably only going to be $3.4 billion, which sounds like a lot, but still it's...
Well, it's a lot. I mean, they got to find it somewhere.
Huge drop, though, man.
Yeah. Well, it'd be great if they could make it all up.
The CARES Act put $43.3 billion into the Michigan economy. PPP went $16 billion to Michigan businesses.
Oh, my God.
I know. It's great. It's good.
Can't we get more of that, like, now?
Well, supposed to.
my stimulus.
I want my stimulus.
Is anyone watching the RNC convention?
Nope. I missed it last night. After being yelled at the previous night.
Though I did see Nicholas Sandman put that hat on. He calls himself I am Sandman. He says his last name really weird.
He will not be canceled.
You know what's cool, though, is that they played Enter Sandman when he came out.
Did they really?
No, I'm kidding.
Did they really?
Wouldn't that have been cool?
It would have been cool.
I was going to say, they stole my bit.
I thought it was really cool how he said he won't be canceled. What was he canceled from?
Did he lose his job? Canceled from life.
Okay.
How long did he talk?
Not very long.
Can you cue him up? I want to hear what he said.
Okay.
I was pissed off that he's on there. And by the way, it was that couple from St. Louis really going to be on?
They were on Monday.
Yeah, they already were.
That was weird.
Why were they on? I mean, what did they say?
They're like, be very afraid in your neighborhood.
Yeah. The suburbs are, if Joe Biden's elected, it's the end of the suburbs, Drew.
Oh, okay.
Suburbs are over.
Well, I was going to say, in spite of all this foolishness, I mean, generally speaking, these conventions are complete stupidity. Did you find Sandman?
Yeah, that's him.
Oh, God, look at him. His hair's all perfectly combed. He's wearing a red tie.
My name is Nick Sandman, and I'm the teenager who was defamed by the media after an encounter with a group of protesters on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial last year. Before I begin, I'd like to thank President Trump for the opportunity to share some of my story and why it matters so much to this November's election. In 2019, I attended the March for Life in Washington, D.C., where I demonstrated...
Just standing up and saying, fuck no.
You see, he just lost a lot of people right there, kind of right out of the gate.
Because he's pro-life?
Oh, abortion is so divisive between certain people.
No. He's preaching to the choir there.
Yeah, he's on the RNC. He's at the RNC convention. Okay. So he's all right.
He's not going to lose anybody with that.
March for Life in Washington, D.C.
Except Bette Midler.
Where I demonstrated in defense of the unborn. Later that day, I bought a Make America Great Again hat because
I should be back in school.
Donald Trump has distinguished himself as one of the most pro-life presidents in the history of our country, and I wanted to express my support for him too. Looking back now, how could I possibly imagine
the
simple act of putting on that red hat would unleash hate from the left and make myself the target of network and cable news networks nationwide.
What a mess!
Being from Kentucky, the birthplace of Abraham Lincoln, my classmates and I visited the Lincoln Memorial.
He was born in Illinois.
I found myself face-to-face with Nathan Phillips and
other professional
protesters. Apparently he moved
there because Kentucky sucks or something.
Looking to turn me into the latest poster child showing why Trump is bad.
That bet didn't work out well, did it?
As an aggressor with a relentless smirk on my face.
All right.
In reality, the video confirms I was standing with my hands behind my back and an awkward smile on my face that hid two thoughts. One, don't do anything that might further agitate the man.
But so why are you at the RNC?
And two, I was trying to follow a family friend's advice. Never to do anything to embarrass your family.
That's
your
enough, Sandman.
Or your community.
People are dying.
You should have used Enter Sandman. I don't know how much difference it would have made.
Metallica would have had a cow.
Could have helped.
Yeah, you're right, Trudy. we would have heard all about that then.
Oh, yeah.
Alan Lichtman is a predictor. I don't know exactly what he does, he's a historian, that's right. Anyway, he's gotten every election correct since he started ballyhooing his predictions in 1984. And he says that the 2020 election will be won by Biden, and that he is a shoo-in. And I'm not sure what exactly or why he says that, but the same as I was reading this, there was a connected story that said that the current gap between Trump and Biden is the largest. No sitting president has been this far behind going into the RNC, Republican National Convention. So
yeah, but he's the unconventional candidate.
Yeah, he is, and I would never consider him out of it. But there are times when I've thought that this is just, there's no way he can win. But I did see today they had a new poll for all the battleground states. And the problem, as I see it, for Trump, and this is not because I want him to win, I'm just saying if I'm looking at this objectively, is that he's behind in every single one.
Well, CNN, you know that guy that just loves his maps on CNN, the gray-haired guy?
Yeah, well, there's a couple of them. But
so he was doing the whole thing with the battleground states, and he had it coming down to two states. And it's I didn't understand the way Maine does it, but I guess Maine can split it, their votes, their electoral college votes. And he had it down to Wisconsin and Maine if he could win this certain amount of votes for Maine. And he said that's particularly why they had the lobsterman and the dairy farmer talk to the RNC.
Oh, right.
I thought that was really interesting, the way it breaks down. And he had it that close, those two states.
By the way, it's lobster.
Oh, I'm sorry.
L-A-W-B-S-T-A. Lobster. He's a lobsterman. We catch lobsters.
I thought it was fascinating.
Well, that was a tasty-ass lobster.
But he was talking about, like, Florida. Florida's actually getting more red than they've ever been, so it's not as much of a toss-up state. And Georgia really will probably stay red, as will Arizona. Ohio is turning more red than it's been. I don't know. It's just kind of fascinating hearing him talk about it.
Well, the new poll today had his biggest problem was Michigan 50-44.
Yeah, they had Michigan being blue on that.
I wrote it all down. Where the fuck are my notes? Oh, here they are.
Although in Michigan, isn't Trump still leading in Macomb? Which hasn't the old rule been?
Yeah, you can't win without winning Macomb. Yeah,
the way Macomb goes, the country goes.
I don't know what the breakdown is in Macomb, but he, according to the battleground state, the most recent poll, I think it was Politico, had Michigan 50-44 for Biden, Pennsylvania 49-46, Wisconsin 49-44, Arizona 49-47. That's been back and forth. It's very close. North Carolina has Biden up by 1 point. He was up by 10 points in North Carolina, by the way. And Florida, Biden was at 48-45. So they're all close. But it seems like it'd be hard to win all of them if you're behind. But it is still early. I mean, I don't know how much of a bump he'll get from the convention. But
he'll get a bump from that. He'll get a bump from what's going on in Kenosha and Portland and Seattle. That stuff all helps him.
I would think he would already receive the bump from that, but I don't know.
Well, it depends where it goes. We still have, 2.5 months?
Yeah, about 70 days, I believe, which is, close to 2.5 months.
A little
months.
Less than that, but that's still, a lot of time.
Yeah. It always tends to get closer anyway.
It's also vastly different today with a lot more states and a lot more people voting,
it's also,
voting absentee or voting by mail.
It'll be, I don't know what effect it'll have, but I thought that Trump certainly helped himself with all his, stadium speeches, and it just seemed like he found his way into the news so often, and those things made it look like, it's like a promise keepers or something. I mean, just this crazed
That's
crowd.
Right.
And so he's not doing that, but Biden's not doing it either. I mean, Biden is, I don't know if he's officially in the bunker or... But you don't see a whole lot of them.
Didn't DTJ take a shot at him for not being out there?
I don't know. Did he?
I thought, yeah.
Did anybody see Tiffany Trump? Because honestly, the only thing I had interest in last night was why is Sandman on there? And Tiffany Trump, I was rooting for because she is like she's the ugly duckling, the black sheep of the family.
I saw when I was leaving here, I saw her on the TV, and I had one thought: is that she's turning more into Donald. Her looks, because I didn't have the volume.
Can we see Tiffany Trump?
Sure.
Because I never root for anyone at a convention, but she's so the black sheep of that family that I couldn't help rooting for her.
What has she done? I mean, I don't know why you would have ire towards her or Baron.
In the family, she's the black sheep. She's left out of everything.
Well, because she's Marla Maples' kid.
Yeah.
I'm Tiffany Trump. Since speaking at the Republican convention 4 years ago.
Oh, God, too much makeup, right?
Does she look more like Donald now than she has before?
And for my family.
Does she have black roots?
Oh,
this is not good.
Yes.
I graduated from law school during the pandemic.
Did you see him, Trudy? You noticed?
Our generation is unified in the facing the future in uncertain times. And many of us are considering what kind of country we want to live in. As a recent graduate, I can relate to so many of you.
Believe me, she would not be my first choice, that I can tell.
My father built a thriving economy once, and believe me, he will.
That's what I meant about the black sheep. She is the black sheep.
I urge
you. You would never date her.
To that point, have you ever heard Eric Trump speak?
I saw him this morning.
Is a fight.
I didn't know his voice sounded like that.
I'd say I've rarely heard Eric Trump at all. It seems like it's DTJ round the clock.
And Ivanka. I think Ivanka. I've heard Jared more.
What happened
to
Ivanka? Ivanka was like the, she was the going to be the big shot.
She still is. She'll have the
I barely ever see her.
Can you please find Eric's speech? I didn't know his voice sounded like that.
In closing, I'd like to speak directly to my father. I miss working alongside you every single day, but I'm damn proud to be on the front lines of this fight.
Why don't you call
him? I'm proud of what you are doing for this country. I'm proud to show my children what their grandfather is fighting for. I'm proud to watch you give them hell.
Children.
Never stop. Continue to be unapologetic. Keep fighting for what is right. You are making America strong again.
Who was that?
You are making America safe again. You are making America proud again.
Daddy.
And yes, together with a forgotten man and
nobody
woman.
Nobody knows who the hell he is.
I feel like I shouldn't be listening.
But probably that's America a little disguise. That means it's she.
He wants to talk directly to his dad. Should I really
Let's make Uncle
this?
Robert very proud this week.
Yeah, you're eavesdropping.
Let's go get another 4 years. I love
get out
you
of here.
Very much.
Whoa, let's stop talking with this guy.
I guess Melania was getting good marks today. The only reason I say this is because I saw it on CNN, and they were giving her good marks. So it had to be...
Bette Midler didn't.
Bette Midler, yeah, that was unfortunate. Bette Midler said, she still doesn't speak English!
Nobody watching had a mask on, by the way. Inside Edition was pointing it out. And then they all co-mingled afterwards.
Oh, in the Rose Garden?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that. Oh, boy.
And now the CDC says you don't need to be tested if you were near someone that had COVID.
Yeah, what the hell is that?
They said if you don't have symptoms,
to say that. And you're around someone that has it, you're exposed to someone with COVID, and you don't have symptoms, don't get a test. Yeah. But I thought if you didn't have symptoms, it didn't mean that you didn't have it.
Did you hear what Trudy said?
What did you say, Trudy?
Supposedly they're being kind of instructed to...
By the task force to put that out there.
To put that out.
What do you mean?
The CDC said it's coming from the top to say that you don't need to be tested if you've been exposed to COVID-19. In other words, let's slow the testing down, please.
And so they're saying that, but then they're saying that they don't really mean it?
Well, the official statement is, if you're exposed to COVID-19, you do not need testing. And then, of course, the leaker, somebody, an unnamed official, said.
Well, we know that that's true.
No, but what? Why
they
else?
Made a big, they made a why huge else? Deal of it today about well, fuck, I don't know. I mean, is the CDC typically, I mean, do they typically respond that way?
What do you mean?
Do you remember when they diverted information from the CDC reporting information? Yeah.
That it had to go right to Health and Human Services?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, in other words, it's not real. You should get tested if you're exposed to someone.
I mean,
I find it hard to believe the CDC would say something that would put people in danger, but that would put people in danger. Never. If you're exposed to someone and you should get tested,
of course,
but you don't have symptoms,
everyone
that
is a boss.
Seems like it's a reverse. I mean, that's... it seems like it would be hard to actually put that something like that out if you didn't believe it.
Well, if you wanted to keep your job.
Top officials instructed... Oh, crap. Oh, well.
Well, is anyone denying that?
Instructed the CDC to change testing guidelines.
Well, then why would we ever trust the CDC? I mean, honestly...
They told us not to wear masks,
and then they told us to wear masks, and now they're telling us this. I also heard today that 6 feet is not enough, that 20 feet is needed.
It's situational. It depends on what situation you're in.
Okay.
That's what they said about that. Hey, did you see that they have a giant ray gun?
What?
The CDC?
They have a giant heat ray, the government does. It was developed by the military. That they were contemplating back when, you know, remember when all the immigrants were flooding across the border? They were contemplating using it on them.
Very good.
A giant microwave.
Hey, whatever happened to that giant sound gun? Remember 60 Minutes did that story?
they blew out all those people's hearings in Cuba. Hearing.
Oh, not that. That's true. No, but it's not that. It just sends this giant, kind of like the explosion in Beirut that welder totally fucked up. But it sends a giant sound wave that just stops everybody in their tracks and pushes them over. I remember Clark.
Can they show us a video of that? That sounds cool as hell.
60 Minutes did. I remember you and Clark talking about it.
But do you remember
I remember the whole, yeah.
They never showed us a video of it, did they?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
They did?
Yeah, it's so cool.
I could see people stopping in their tracks.
Why don't they use it for the protesters?
Yeah.
They were thinking about doing that. That was what this was brought up about, that they were thinking, hey, maybe we should take that to Kenosha.
Wow.
It's,
What are you rocking out to? Drew's rocking out.
Weapons.
Oh.
I can hear it upstairs.
I'll have to check.
What are you rocking out to?
I'm going to tell you in a second. Because I can't hear it. Let's see. It must be from YouTube, right? Oh, it's Beck. Saw Lightning.
Mm. Pornhub.
Little post-show jam. Hoo-ah. Before post-show, I got a Causex. I'm going to need that in a minute. So we have video?
I'm looking for it. I mean, this was years
ago. So why this came up today in light of the protesting?
No, Trudy brought up the ray gun. It just made me think of the sound gun, the blast thing that they had.
Yeah, it was developed by the military as a crowd dispersal tool 2 decades ago, and it had largely been abandoned until they started having these protests, and somebody said, hey, we should send it to Kenosha.
Are they
going to
debut it tonight?
What?
They should have a pay-per-view where they debut it. I pay. I mean, see people stopped in their tracks by sound? Pretty cool.
Is it the same thing?
No, it's not the same. This one is a giant microwave ray thing.
Whoa.
Well, I pay per view for that, too.
Yeah, that might not be as interesting as the sound wave, because some people feel like they're burning.
I'd pay to watch people go deaf, too. With whatever they're doing to those people at the embassy in Cuba.
That's mean.
Well, if it's going to happen anyway. I'm not going to pay if it's going to encourage people to do it, but if they're going to do it anyway, I'll pay.
Oh, man.
Yeah, pay-per-view needs to get more innovative. They really should come up with some better shows.
They've missed so many opportunities.
That's true.
No luck?
No, because I don't have CBS All Access.
All right.
God, why do you have to... Well, we have to buy
every fucking thing.
Freaking...
Yeah.
I know. I'm running into a lot of paywalls lately. Is anybody else noticing
that? Wait, Kristen's back. With more, with seconds.
I can see her whole arm.
Wow. Oh, he's getting the whole hand, baby.
If I can eat that much.
Man.
Garbage disposal Brandon.
Hey, Kristen.
Hi, Kristen.
Brandon is going to be huge. I think Kristen, she is insecure about Brandon. She's trying to make him weigh 300 pounds so he can't leave her.
Or the house.
Yes. I agree with that assessment.
All right, I think I found it. Check this out.
You have to feel the ray gun to believe it, and there's only one way to do that.
Engage.
Yeah! You don't need to say engage. Shoot him!
To me, it felt like scalding water.
I've got several layers on, but the beam is still coming through my clothes, so I'm going to try some shields here. This is a piece of plywood.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, see how far this gets me.
Engage.
Yeah, engage that motherfucker.
Oh!
That
leaves too much
well,
of your body exposed. My feet. So I'm going to try this mattress here.
Mattress can be better than a piece of wood.
Okay, let's see.
Engage
again, motherfucker.
No.
Kill you if I had my gun.
Engage
him. Keep blasting him.
Thousands of people are going to show up at a protest with a mattress.
That's enough.
Lots of guns.
I want to see that protest.
Some people claim they've been able to stand in the beam for 4 or 5 seconds.
Bullshit.
So how long can I take the heat?
Yeah, please try.
Here goes.
Engage.
1,000, 2,000, 3,000.
He starts running away, and it looks like he's sprinting, but he's not very much of a sprinter.
His 1,000 was way faster, too.
He just started bolting.
That's awesome.
So that's the heat ray.
Yeah, I guess it's pretty. We are talking about the same thing, Trudy.
Wow, that's crazy.
So cool.
1,000, 2,000.
Fucking mattress. You dope. I love that he tried it though.
Well,
didn't he just die recently?
Did he?
That reporter
from the ray gun.
That old guy.
Is it effects from the ray gun?
Just
David
CBS.
Martin. Isn't that his name? I don't know.
I have no idea.
I don't know.
You want to get us out of here?
Sure.
And we will wrap up the week tomorrow. And trying to think, okay, so no NBA tonight.
I would
Interesting.
Little baseball. Are Tigers even playing? If they did, they...
Wow.
Yes.
They are playing?
Detroit Tigers.
Wait, why is Trudy answering that question?
Oh, maybe she has them on the TV.
It was one of my breaks today.
Yeah, they have the Cubbies, and they're currently...
They didn't cancel?
It's the rubber game. The rubber match.
They don't support Kenosha.
Trudy knows what a rubber match is?
I do.
Wow. will the Tigers be shamed for playing?
Yeah, I just shamed them. Shame on you.
I noticed, by the way, I just happened to take a peek at my email, and I noticed there's already a few emails ragging on the NBA.
For what?
Whatever. Oh, for not playing.
Well, agree with their opinion or don't agree with them, but don't they have the right
to... Sure, they can do whatever they want. Yeah, they can. So. But I think I truly believe the reason that the NBA is being... that people are sort of scoffing at the NBA is because they always come from the left. It's sort of like Hollywood. Oh, Hollywood! I think they're having the same effect.
They're majority black.
Well, yeah, I know, but people never thought of the NBA as being a left thing. It was just a basketball league.
Well, they never really spoke outside of Kareem.
Well, I think guys speak out from time to time, but
Jordan,
now it's
Jordan
a,
was
it's
a total
pretty,
puss.
Pretty regular.
Hey, by the way, Kareem's
occurrence.
Son is going to jail for stabbing his next door neighbor.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. That's crazy.
And on that note, we'll see you tomorrow.